much about. So easy. You got to put it in
perspective. Let the romance begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'd like to thank vaginas everywhere. They're creepy, and I don't know what they're for, but boy, are they funny!
Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games, maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood, maybe your mother has cancer, you're going to chemo, maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder, maybe you're on some medication for that, I don't know, there could be another issue that I'm not aware of.
And now...
Can I say a-hole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Our feature presentation.
I forgot the magic of that guy.
Oh, Dimitri.
Dimitri.
I want to hear all of that again.
Oh.
We may have to revisit that again, Sue, because it has been too long since we played Dimitri, who can pick up any woman anytime, anywhere.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't normally do this, but you're a very elegant woman.
That's right. Anyway, your telephone call is to get us kicked off on a brand new week here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get on the air. We actually have the first review that I've heard of a little movie called Jackass 3D.
Oh.
On the Kevin and Bean Show right now, ladies and gentlemen, here's our guest movie reviewer, Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you really see it twice this weekend?
I did.
This is the guy who doesn't go for months
right.
to see anything.
It wasn't out either.
No.
So you had to go to special screenings.
And then I had to go to, immediately after, I had to go to another media screening to just make sure I got it all. I could still go.
Are you kidding?
Mike's been looking forward to this more than anything in his whole life.
I'm going to the premiere on Wednesday, but I didn't know if I'd be able to actually watch the movie at the premiere because of Loveline. You know,
oh, right.
Like so I was like, you know what? We have so many guests on this show and on Loveline this week from the cast. I want to really see the movie, soak it in. And I had to see it twice. It is so good.
Yeah.
It is genius. And here's the deal. Look, anybody can gather around with their friends and film each other, punch each other in the balls. It's so clever the way they set everything up. And the movie stands on its own. It would be excellent if it wasn't 3D, but it makes it that much better that they did use 3D technology and they used it well. It's like an adjunct to a great movie as opposed to being the star. There's not going to be one person who goes to see this film that is disappointed. I can guarantee it. It is so unbelievably
funny.
And
by guarantee it, you mean you can pay them back if they...
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Much like Lisa May with The Town, I believe. is the...
Can you... I know you were loath to spoil too much about it, but give us something of one of the stunts you'd not heard about that surprised you that was either particularly dangerous, particularly funny, or something.
I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's a lot of... on top of the stunts, there's a lot of like social comedy where they kind of set up these huge scenes amidst society, everyday
so
society,
kind of play acting?
Playing pranks on people, right. Unsuspecting kind of everyday people. And there is a midget bar fight.
A midget bar fight? So the bar is a midget?
Kevin.
Okay, sorry.
They go to a like a real seedy bar in San Pedro. Wee man and an actress who's also a little person,
right.
and they set up this scene on the unsuspecting people in this bar, and it turns into this giant bar fight. And I don't want to get into too much more detail and ruin it, but it is so over the top funny for how long it goes, how uncomfortable it gets. It's freaking genius.
So they go into the bar and then they start arguing and have a fight, and nobody in the bar knows what's happening, but they're filming?
Out of the blue, middle of the day, I mean, real kind of like these super pickled drunks at a bar, you know, 11 a.m.
Love it.
And Wee Man walks in with a date, and of course people recognize, hey, what's up, Wee Man? Just a couple beers. I'm out here with my lady friend. Another little person walks in, kind of a tough look, going, hey, Christine, what are you doing? She's like, you know, we broke up. Leave me alone. And Wee Man steps in, and then they start a fight.
Awesome.
And then from there, it progresses. And I, like I said, I don't want to give away too much, but that scene really took it for me. And then fun with a jet engine.
Fun with a jet engine.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm in that.
Right.
I
mean,
love
fun with a jet engine is and you don't really realize, I think, because most people are smart enough to stay away from jet engines, you don't realize just how powerful those G-damn things are. And they show you. They show you exactly how powerful they are.
Just flying in the air.
Oh, flying away like feathers in the wind. Lisa.
Awesome.
Like human beings just flying across fields.
Cannot
it's
wait.
Unbelievable.
Love that.
I can't believe you saw it twice, by the way. Well, that's hilarious.
You got to soak it in.
He saw it twice, and he's going to see it Wednesday. And then probably Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when it comes out.
If I have the opportunity, yes.
Well, is the Jackass movie going to be ignored by the Oscar voters? Is that what's happening here, Mike?
Oh, sure. Always, right?
Mm. I mean,
it's not for them.
Don't you want to live in a world where the best picture is Jackass 3D?
Yes, I do.
Of course.
One, I do.
But you understand it is never going to be.
Yeah.
You know.
You Knoxville came out to speak to the crowd at the first screening I went to, and he's like, I know this is really dumb, but we're very proud of it. And it kind of encapsulates it. It's like they understand this is not a piece of cinematic artwork, but it's something that everybody should love. It's very, very clever.
Well, I'm going to disagree and say it is a piece of cinematic artwork. That's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Hey, we're going to give away tickets to Jackass in about a half an hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. So if you want to go and be excited and see it ahead of it opening on Friday, stick around. We do have those tickets coming up for you. 1-800-520-1067 is the number right now, toll free, if you want to get on the air and talk about anything else.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, just in time for Halloween, how about a pair of tickets to the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride at its new home on the haunted grounds of Griffith Park's Old Zoo? Apparently, it was voted the best Halloween attraction of 2009. Go to LosAngelesHauntedHayride.com. That's your prize for being on the air with us today.
All right, let's continue with the movies. Let's go to Lenore. Hi there.
Hey there.
What did you?
Listen, I heard Kevin does not like horse movies.
No.
He hates horses.
No,
he
hates
horses.
I don't hate horses.
Yeah.
I like horses.
He hates that horses exist.
Well, I saw Secretariat and it was awesome.
I don't doubt it. It looked like it was going to be good.
It was so sad.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Seabiscuit was great.
And it was good.
Kevin was glad that Barbaro died. That's all I have to tell you about Kevin and horses, okay?
Who's that?
Hey. How was Sarah Jessica Parker as Secretariat?
She was not in it.
She was playing Secretariat, I heard.
She must have been great
because I saw the trailer.
Lenore didn't even recognize her.
Yeah.
She disappeared right into the role.
They put a little bit of makeup on her, and all of a sudden you can't even tell she's the same chick.
How about that?
Okay, well, thank you for the review.
That's probably the best review she could get, right?
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, that has happened to me before where I haven't realized until after the movie, when I see the credits, that somebody was in the movie that I know, but they just look so totally different.
Sure.
Let's try Dewanne Johnson, Los Angeles, California, apparently with a movie topic for us on the Kevin DeBean Show, too.
What's up, Kevin DeBean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewanne.
What's happening, Dewanne?
Yeah, me and my friend saw a movie called Aptitude 1 with Jessica Lowndes, who currently play on 90210, and we almost met her. But
okay, what was the name of the movie? What movie are you talking about?
Attitude.
I've never
it's
heard of that.
It's a horror movie.
A horror movie. I've never heard of Attitude.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Okay, but what? So you didn't see it?
No, me and my friend supposed to see it, but he decided to go to the barbecue. That's when I got in a bad mood with him. I got very angry.
And here's where I take over.
I see a psycho.
I got a lot of very angry phone calls from Mr. Dewanne Johnson last night because Miguel, his friend, was supposed to take him to see this movie.
Oh, I see.
None of us have ever heard of it. I had never heard of it.
I don't want to lose the thread of that story, but the reason Dewanne is calling me because he almost saw a movie and he almost met an actress, right? That's the weekend right there?
Yes, almost met Jessica Lowndes in person.
That would have been great.
She was going to be at the screening?
Yeah, I heard about it, yes. And my Twitter friend tweeted me about it that he met Jessica Lowndes.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what you're saying is Miguel dropped the ball on giving Dewanne all that opportunity, and that's why he was angry.
Well, Miguel decided that he would rather go to a barbecue and then invited Dewanne to the barbecue and took Dewanne to the barbecue. Dewanne was super fuming TNT pissed at the barbecue that they weren't at the movie and decided to call me from it. And, I mean, when I say mad, I don't know if I've ever heard Dewanne this mad. I mean,
Dewanne.
Explosive.
I really got to meet the 90210 star.
All right.
Yep. That's true.
Sometimes plans change, and sometimes you just have to kind of roll with the punches a little bit, Dewanne.
Mm-hmm. I'm still very upset with my friend right now.
Well, okay, right. But what Bean is suggesting is that, you know, at times that happens, and you kind of have to cut your friend some slack and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I really want to meet the 902.
You 902, really that's right. Okay.
I am.
All right, Dua. Well, listen, I think you should maybe spend a couple of days away from your friend and then kind of, you know, get back together and go out and have a good time again. You guys can still be friends, even though there was that one misunderstanding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dua.
All right. Thank you.
Good times.
Mm. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm going to cut off your skin and wear it as a coat.
Okay, thank you. Your private messages went public today.
Yeah.
I don't think I understand this whole concept of, hey, if I put it out on the internet, if I send it to one person, it's private. Because then that person will go, look, hey, you can't send this to anybody else, but you'll never believe. And then they send it to one person.
But don't send it to anyone.
And then it goes to 75,000 people, and then you don't have any idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You lose control of it. This is the story about the Duke student who published in depth every single escapade she had with sex with other people at Duke, and they're not thrilled. Eminem was featured on 60 Minutes last night.
How was that?
Just okay.
Really?
I brought in some highlights.
Okay.
It's enough for highlights, but it was just okay.
I watched Mad Men.
Yeah. Good story.
Which really was way better.
Donald Trump is running for president?
Mm-hmm.
What? Ask a Border Patrol agent.
Oh, there yes. you go. Today. That's going to be great.
We have an actual Border Patrol agent who's coming in. We're going to give you a chance in a couple of hours to ask him any questions that you may have.
I hope Psycho Mike and David King of Mexico brought in their papers today
just in case
there are any questions. I mean, this could be a checkpoint here at the studio this morning.
Wouldn't that be the best ever?
We could take them both away in handcuffs.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Send it back.
We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the sports, the NFL weekend.
All right.
Communism.
We are going to talk about...
Wasn't the one thing I took away from Friday's conversation about sports is the only lock of the weekend was New Orleans over Arizona, right? if you could just count on one game, says Kevin, that's the one.
I don't remember saying that. I predicted an earthquake, but I don't remember saying that. TMZ, Harvey Levin, we'll talk to him, and we've got your tickets for Jackass, like Bean said. So we'll take a quick break and come back with the real Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman next.
Ralph Garman's on vacation. Time for Kevin and Bean to take a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Nip.
Time for us to leave.
Nip.
What? Who's that?
Nip.
What? We're doing the... Who? Ralph Garman?
For your consideration, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. Come on. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you?
Emmy voters, take note.
Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How you feeling? How you doing? What's up? What's new?
I'm tired.
Tired?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I bet. It's a working vacation for you this time.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Yeah, we were working on Kevin Smith's new film, Red State,
mm-hmm.
for the past 2 weeks. And I love getting a chance to go off every once in a while and do a little acting project. But it's long hours to do that. 12, 14, 15, 16 hours sometimes on the set.
Wow.
So
wow.
It can be a little grueling, but it's very, very entertaining. It has been a blast.
How strange was it for you to see your good friend Kevin Smith in a completely different environment, too? I mean, working for the man.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because I have never seen him in action in that capacity. And I thought this would be a cool thing to watch him in his element. And I got to tell you, he's pretty much the same guy.
Is he really?
It's amazing how much pressure a director has on a set in terms of the sheer number of decisions that have to be made in an hour. I mean, everybody's come up to you all day long saying, what about the lighting? What about the props? What about the costumes? What about the camera angles? This, that, and the other thing. And it's a tremendous amount of pressure. And I've seen a lot of directors not buckle under it, but it gets tense. And
sure.
it gets frustrating. And he is just patient and funny and cool the whole time.
And high.
Well, that helps, I guess. It helps when you're making those high-pressure decisions is to be loaded.
Well, if we have time later, I know Kevin and I both would love to hear more about it, because we were very excited when you went off to do the film. We can't wait to hear more. So
It was a real good time, and I think it's going to be a real good film.
When's it come out?
Yeah,
when I first
read
the script, I was like, wow, this is, well, it's unlike anything he's ever done, because it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
It is a horror thriller with sort of a political, social element to it. And I read the script and said, wow, this is really dark. This is something that is disturbing. It's not just like a slasher movie where, you know, it's just hot chicks in underwear running around away from a monster. This has got
nothing wrong with that.
No, it isn't. I wish it had been more of that, quite frankly.
So Small Rats too.
This is really sort of dark and disturbing, and I wonder how it's going to turn out. But the cast is tremendous. I don't know if you guys remember... On Twin Peaks, there was a character named Jean Renault, who was the French-Canadian guy who owned the casino brothel, one of Jack's. An actor named Michael Parks was the actor who played him. And he's been in Quentin Tarantino's movies and Robert Rodriguez's film. He's got a recurring character called Sheriff McGraw in a couple of those films. And he's been in the Grindhouse movies. Just a tremendous actor. He's been around for a long, long time. And he's the lead in the film. And watching him work is just tremendous.
And that comes out this Friday?
No.
No.
we're still shooting.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we're a little over schedule.
Oh.
So I may be sick on Wednesday.
You're already just guessing, not Tuesday or Thursday.
No, I'm thinking Wednesday. I might be coming down with some sort of bug. I don't feel so good 48 hours from now.
Tomorrow you'll be fine.
Tomorrow I'll feel
sure.
good. Wednesday I may have a cough.
That happens.
Or something.
Well, we're glad to have you back, and I'm sure you got your email box was full of people saying what a bad job Kevin and Bean did, fill it in, but we did the best we could.
I think I thank everyone who did anything to help me out while I was off doing this thing, so they can be damned.
I'm there sure you go. Wow.
Guys did a great job, I'm positive.
Who's number four on the Eagles?
Number four is Kevin Cobb.
Ah, wearing a jersey.
Quarterback Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing a number five, and that's not there anymore.
No, and then so. I had number seven for a little while,
sure.
And now I'm wearing number four because right. It is a revolving door of quarterbacks over there.
Do you have whoever's their backup jersey?
I don't have my Kafka jersey yet, but I'm looking forward to getting it in the mail sometime soon. Mike Kafka.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you won't either,
I Good luck
think.
With that.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? I do have a real funny story, real quick story, though, before I get on
okay.
about shooting. They give you these trailers when you're on location where you can change your clothes and whatnot, and you can read your script in between setups. You can relax a little bit. So this is a very complicated film for Kevin. This is a lot more camera movement and things than he has done before. I think visually it's going to be much more interesting than a lot of his films. And so there's some sequences that can be very complex to do as an actor because they make you do physically uncomfortable things that maybe look good on the screen but feel awkward while you're
you
shooting
have to
it.
Try and make it look normal.
Yeah, so it can be a little funky. So I'm working on one of these scenes and I'm reading over the script and I'm frustrated. I'm not having a hard time getting my head around it. So I said, you know, man, it's times like this I really miss the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
And there's a radio in the trailer. So I said, I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to listen and see what's going on in the show.
Oh, no.
And then I'll go back to whatever this little movie thing is. But, man, you know, I really miss it being on the radio.
What do you guess it was? What do you guess it was, guys?
Something embarrassing and bad.
There's like a million things I can think of.
Here's my guess. Death Ray in Vegas.
No, I didn't hear. I didn't hear Death Ray in Vegas.
All right.
I didn't hear much of the show while I was gone, sadly.
We didn't expect you to, but.
But I did flip it on, and I heard... I like to fart on people. It was Psycho Mike talking about how he liked to fart on people.
Yeah.
That was one of our brighter moments.
And I was like, oh, you know, and I turned it back off, went right back to the script.
So I'm all good.
I'm in the right place.
I want to thank you guys for keeping me focused on the subject at hand so I didn't spend any time wasting my time listening to how Mike likes to fart on people. So I said, yeah, maybe I didn't miss it as much as I could.
Yeah. Call-in topic, Ralph.
I'm sorry, what now?
We took calls.
Fart calls.
Is it funny?
All right, then.
Yeah.
Good times.
That happened last week.
Let's talk about show business, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office. It is Monday. That's what we do on Monday mornings. The Social Network continues to be number one at the box office. $15.5 million additional dollars kept it at number one this weekend. Life as We Know It. Oh, isn't it funny when two people who don't know each other are left a baby in a will and have to raise it and then they fall in love because that baby sure does poop a lot.
They fall in love over poop.
Come on with this.
Yeah. It was number two?
Yes.
Wow. I know it sounds bad, but you have to factor in that Katherine Heigl is in it, though, Ralph.
Yeah. Man, and then what happens? you know what I don't need anymore? The guy changing the diaper going, whoa!
Yeah.
There's a lot of poop in this diaper. It sure smells bad.
How can something so small?
Why? It makes so much poop. Oh, I'm blown away by the fact that there's poop in this diaper. Who could have seen that coming? Ah, comedy effect.
How much did that make, that movie?
Made $14.6 million. Come on, people now. Secretariat was third. Kevin?
Love it.
Just saddle up?
No.
No. $12.6 million. Legends of the Guardians. Woo, woo, woo. The
Owls
of Gahooly. Oh, I love me some freaking owls.
They sure do. Protect Legends.
Congratulations to director Zack Snyder, of course, of that film, who now will be directing the new Superman movie, because now he knows about flying stuff. See? He used to work with all those owls.
Sure.
Yeah. Soul, My Soul to Take. New horror movie from Wes Craven was fifth at the box office with $6.9 million. Then The Town, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, Easy A, Case 39, and You Again, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. I was talking to my dad over the weekend. God bless him. 80 years old last week.
said, yeah, your mother and I saw Our Town. We like that movie. I said, that's not Our Town, Dad. That's an old play from the 30s. It's The Town. Yeah, we liked it. And next up, we want to see that Wall Street, The Money Shot.
Maybe they know what they're talking about.
I was like, Dad, that is not the version of that film you want to see. Trust me.
Maybe it is.
You want to take
a
second look at the listings there in your local newspaper.
I would like to put in a good word for It's Kind of a Funny Story. I saw that, the new Zach Galifianakis movie.
All right, that was good. He's in the Nut Hatch.
Super good.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything he's in, I'm in on.
Yeah, definitely see it.
Kim Kardashian learned the hard way that jealous girlfriends and alcohol may not always be a good combination.
Uh-oh.
Last week, she was out at a cocktail lounge, and a drunken male fan decided he wanted a picture with her. She obliged. Turns out his girlfriend didn't appreciate the attention he was giving Kim Kardashian. She was loaded and decided to toss a drink in Kim Kardashian's face.
All right.
Like it's her fault that her boyfriend wants the photo with her.
So Kim Kardashian was nice enough to say, absolutely.
See what happens?
Face full of drink.
That's right.
But did she have to pay for the drink?
No. Apparently she didn't. It was free.
All right.
Yeah. She says she took the high road, didn't want to feed to the drama, and just left the situation rather than getting involved.
Wait a minute. The situation was at the bar?
Apparently Sister Chloe stepped in, and Scott Disick threw a punch at the guy. So I guess when you're surrounded by those kind of people, you really don't need to create any more drama because your family brings it for you.
Right, but if Scott Disick's the one throwing the punch, you're cool.
That's true.
That's no problem.
What the hell was that? Someone just hit me with a spitball?
Someone slapped me?
Charlie Sheen's ex-wife and former Bond girl actress Denise Richards has announced she's writing her autobiography.
All right.
Finally. Oh, I wanted to hear all about Starship Troopers. And what that was like to make.
Yeah.
Does she have anything to say you could possibly want to read about?
Not a bit.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Is this what she does now instead of acting? Reality shows
reality
that fail
and
writing her autobiography?
Probably, yeah.
Because no one will hire her.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, it was announced last week, is in talks with MTV to become the new host of Punk'd.
That seems odd to me, as it seems like he's making a lot more money.
Yeah.
Singing. Why would he do that?
I thought the same thing. Hmm. I said, at this stage in a huge pop music career, why would you host a gag show?
Yeah, I read a gag show over the weekend.
Maybe he likes gags. But apparently, it's already having some fallout.
Oh,
his close friends, according to Justin, are keeping their distance from him. He can't get his buddies to hang out with him because of their fear that they're going to be punked.
Sure,
but don't you have to be famous to be punked on Punk'd?
Yeah.
I think his friends are safe. Till they're doing hanger-on Punk'd, I think you're safe, kids. And speaking of Justin, he has just announced he is releasing his own line of nail polish.
Really?
His own line of nail polish?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's called the One Less Lonely Girl Collection. And it has such colors as, I almost said flavors, unless you're sucking on fingers, you probably don't care about that. One Less Lonely Glitter. That's a lavender shade, Kevin, in case you were interested.
And by putting it on your fingers, you're less lonely?
Apparently. Huh. Prized Possession Purple. I'm guessing these are all titles of his songs. I'm not familiar with his work.
Ah, that could be.
Makes sense.
Give Me the First Dance Silver. Me Plus Blue. Blue.
Me Plus Blue.
OMB. Bright Red. And Step to the Beat of My Heart is also another color.
That's all dumb.
Yeah.
And it'll probably earn them a couple of $1 million.
I wonder if they have desperately need a haircut gray or something like that, or something more appropriate for his lifestyle. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Joan Cusack is 48 years old today.
She's great in everything
very
she does.
Very funny, very talented actress. Actor Luke Perry, I guess most famous for Beverly Hills 90210. He is 44 years old today. Jane Krakowski of 30 Rock. She's 42 years old. By the way, this Thursday, 30 Rock is doing its live episode.
Oof, that's right.
Doing the entire episode live.
All right.
One take. Should be very entertaining. I hope they don't screw up and start laughing.
Tell you that. Forget their lines.
That would be crazy. Emily Deschanel.
Oh.
34 years old today. She, of course, the star of Bones. Yeah. Recently married my buddy Dave Hornsby.
Oh, you know that guy she married, that writer?
Dave Hornsby. He's not only a writer, he's also an actor. And he played the annoying, disgusting Hutch on Joe Schmo. Remember the guy who was a real pig on Joe Schmo's show? The Hutch?
Weird.
That's Dave Hornsby.
And he grew up and married Emily Deschanel.
That's how he rolls.
Wow. That's not right.
Yeah, it actually is right. He's a great guy. And Michelle Trachtenberg of Buffy fame celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, we have tickets to the advanced screening. If you would like to go to Jackass 3D, you're going to have to call now 1-800-520-1067. And we'll put you on the air. You're going to have to earn it, though. You'll have to play a game. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:10.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in a couple minutes, find out how the celebrities embarrass themselves over the weekend. First, though, you've been hearing us talk about it already. The week is finally here. Jackass 3D in theaters Friday. You can see it Wednesday at a special red carpet premiere. You got to earn the tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play Famous Asses.
It's time for Famous Asses. I said asses, that's right. And if you guess the famous asses right here, you'll go see Jackass in 3D. Just name that famous ass.
See, we could have done famous people named Jack, but instead we're going the other
that's
way.
Tomorrow.
We're doing that tomorrow. Yeah. We're doing famous asses, meaning that we're going to give you a description of an ass, a celebrity ass that you are familiar with. All you have to do is tell us the person we are talking about. And frankly, it's pretty simple. There's something wrong with you if you don't get these right. And if you do, you are in to see Jackass 3D on Wednesday. Are we ready to play here, Kevin?
That's right. We're not doing a drawing. Everybody that gets it is automatically in. We're going to start with Anthony, who's a truck driver. Hi, Anthony.
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, you're the first contestant on Famous Asses. Listen up. One of the spanking new American Idol judges, this Puerto Rican broad, has an ass that's too big to be in American territory.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
See how easy the game is? There you go. Congratulations. Enjoy the film.
Thanks for naming that ass.
Nice job. Right. We don't need to hear from Omar every single time.
What do you mean named an ass? What is? Come on now. Mike is also a truck driver. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Mike, one of the biggest reality TV stars of all time, he and his wife are equally big asses. Neck beards and crystals are sick, though, kid.
Nice read.
I'm sorry, but I didn't get to.
Name that ass. Big reality star, he and his wife. Tell me who we're talking about.
Got a neck beard. Crystals. I got to tell you, I have mad respect for Mike that he doesn't know this.
Famous ass? You know? We're looking for. You got a guess?
No.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Nope.
No. Sorry, Mike.
Spencer Pratt is who we were looking for. Thanks for playing. Mm. All right, he did not name that ass, so we are Spirit Omar's song. Who's our next contestant?
That's correct. We have Heath, who does industrial construction.
Okay.
All right, Heath.
All right, Heath, listen up. This ass really hates the Jews, and he really needs his Russian baby mama to pleasure him. If she doesn't, he'll just yell and breathe heavy into the phone all day. Name that ass.
Harvey Keitel.
Thanks for naming that ass.
Why didn't we give it to him?
No? He's famous for all those tapes that came out of him screaming at his baby mama. No, Mel Gibson is who we were looking for.
Here's what's funny. Here's what I love. Is we actually had an off-air conversation about this game's way too easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So should we, you know, make it a little harder? And then we were like, no, because everybody can win that way.
Right. We wanted to give away a bunch of tickets, but not with this crowd.
Harvey Keitel is a good guess.
Where did that come from? How random was that?
Oh, I think he deserves tickets, too. Let's talk to Tim, who works for, quote, the beer industry.
I see.
Tim, are you ready to play? You've been listening to these previous contestants. How did you do on the last two that were missed?
I got them.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. I think you'll be fine here, then. This famous ass made his money one of New York's greatest real estate developers. He's also the greatest television star of all time. If you don't believe it, just ask him. If you kiss this giant ass's ass enough, you could be his apprentice.
Is that Donald Trump?
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for naming that ass.
Enjoy Jackass 3D. Thank you for playing.
All right, let's go to Elliot, who is a law school student. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Elliot, there's no denying this rapper producer's talent. There's also no denying his giant ego that makes him an ass. He should have just let Taylor finish, and maybe then he wouldn't be on this list. Who is he?
Kanye.
Yeah.
Thanks for naming that ass.
By the way, he's done plenty to be on this list without that.
He is an ass even without Taylor. You're right.
All right, let's go to Rob, who is in sales. Hey, Rob.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Rob, listen up for Jackass 3D tickets. See it Wednesday ahead of the opening on Friday. This beautiful girl's ass will never be touched by a white man. In fact, she loves the brothers. Like I said, she's gorgeous, but some say she started to look like an Asian goat. Glendale! Who is she?
Kim K.
Kim K! Yeah!
Thanks for naming that ass.
Wow, he goes by Kim K.
I think we got time for one more.
I know we have questions for one more.
Great read, Bean.
Sal, hi.
Hello.
Sal, listen up. Our friend Psycho Mike would cut off his leg just to touch this famous ass, but sadly, it belongs to Justin Timberlake and a whole bunch of bad movies. Name that ass.
Cameron Diaz?
No, sorry. He doesn't
get that,
does he?
That wasn't the worst guess. That's not, he did used to date her.
I'm going to say we almost have to give it to him because that kind of...
What are you talking about?
Bad movies.
I'm saying that answer is also another correct answer for this one.
Because he dated her and she made bad movies.
Yeah, she
and
made she way has more bad movies.
And she has an okay ass, too, by the way.
Is it a good
ass? I'd like
to
point out. I'm going to say... We're going to give it to you. We were looking for Jessica Biel, but Cameron Diaz is also on the board. Congratulations, you're going to Jackass 3D.
There you go.
Thanks for naming that ass.
Tomorrow, Famous Jacks. How do we do it? 0.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock.
He's Mexican. Get him. Sorry, just getting ready for Ask a Border Agent next hour. That's going to be fascinating. This guy contacted us. By the way, he is a real live border agent. Imagine how difficult that job must be to do.
I watched that Border Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Discovery TLC? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, that'll be next hour right here on the Kevin Bean Show. So if you've got questions, stick around for that. Right now, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good. How about you guys?
Good, thank you.
Doing fine. Seems like it's a little bit slow on the celebrity front right now, unless you've got something brewing that we don't know about.
Well, we do.
Yes.
I like the sound of that. Can you
say
it?
We need more. You can't say we do. No.
Okay. I'll give you a hint, but I'm not going to. I clearly can't tell you. Right? We're going to put it up tomorrow. But you will talk about it, I promise.
Okay.
And it has to do, well, no. I'm just
actor, actress, musician?
No.
None of these.
Who's it have to do with?
Reality star?
No.
Brett Favre?
No.
That's a good question.
No.
Hey, what about Brett Favre? Are you covering that much, Harvey?
No. You know, it just... I don't know. You know what? We were offered this thing a long time, like a couple of weeks before this thing broke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean,
he's been offering it to everybody.
It's just bedroom police, you know. And I
well, isn't that what you do?
I hope not.
No, all right.
those voicemails, by the way, that if you haven't heard, apparently the reports are somewhere else other than TMZ. That Brett Favre was coming on to this woman who worked in the Jets organization and was calling her up and trying to get her to come to his room and stuff like that. You've never heard less personality out of anyone in the world than Brett Favre on these voicemails. I mean, clearly his personality is not the draw when you're trying to date Brett Favre, I guess.
That's why he didn't send her a picture of his personality. you know?
All right, let's talk about some stuff that is at TMZ.com, stories you are following. I don't know how you have sources inside rehab at Betty Ford, where Lindsay Lohan is, but is she really opening up about it all being her daddy's fault and all the abuse that she witnessed with her own eyes that he has always denied?
Well, she's talking about it. I mean, she's telling friends and family and all sorts of people that the thing that she believes is that all roads kind of lead to Michael. That, you know, she thinks that the way she grew up, and, you know, look, she's got to have a point here. I mean, he was in and out of jail, kind of an absentee father. There were allegations that he was hitting Dina. Now, he has denied that. She mentioned it in divorce papers. Lindsay is taking her mom's side in this and saying, basically, that this all left a huge scar. What she's not saying is how much her mom contributed to this, too.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, it was, honestly, I mean, when you think about it, you've got this unbelievably dysfunctional family. She's carrying the weight of the family. They throw her to Hollywood. There's no parental supervision. I mean, how likely is it that this is going to have a good ending?
Why does she seem to give her mother such a pass when those of us on the outside look at her mom and go, it's neck and neck on who's worse for her among her parents?
I know. She clearly has sided with her mom, and I think part of the reason is that, you know, when you're in denial and somebody's empowering the denial, it's really easy to say, okay, that's an ally. And that's kind of what happened here. I mean, Dina on occasion has driven her to bars. You know?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know, it's true, though. I mean, you know, when somebody, and what's going to be interesting is, will there be a point where she looks and she says, you know, my mom didn't help this either, but it's not there.
Right. You also, your top story on TMZ right now is Michael Jackson's parents are sitting down to do Oprah. Now, I know that you are a huge fan of Katherine Jackson and believe that she has really been above the fray on so much of what has gone on in the Jackson family. I mean, she's definitely the rock in that family. What's the relationship like between her and Joe now? I thought those guys were getting divorced.
Great. Never been happier.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you something. There have, how to say, there is an interesting alliance between Joe and Catherine. And Catherine has been wheeling and dealing, and, you know, with this, with people who have helped her make money outside of the estate. And it has met with some displeasure among people inside the estate. She is not kind of sitting back and watching Joe twist in the wind. She's more aligned with Joe, I think, than she is the estate.
Is that right?
Yeah, it has been really interesting over the last couple of months. And she's selling books, and she's working on movies, all being done outside of this estate. And, you know, even like selling, do you remember the commemorative belts that they had?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird what's going on, but there's more of a split here than you would think. And the Oprah interview was done completely around the estate. Nobody knew this was going on. She was pushing some of the things that she's selling on the outside. But what I find really interesting about it is, you know, Oprah just, this whole Oksana interview just blew up in her face. And I'm sure she's totally pissed off about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the heels of that, she snagged Catherine Jackson.
What, besides the Jacksons who had their own careers, like Janet, for instance, do the rest of the brothers and sisters just live off of royalties for Michael Jackson, or do any of them have jobs?
Michael Jackson was supporting this whole family. I mean,
well,
the exception of Janet, clearly.
Yeah.
But you know, and you know, there were Rebe is a kind of a housewife. She's leading the most normal of all the Jackson lives.
Who could have guessed that?
Who could have guessed? But that aside, you know, he was carrying. What's interesting right now that's going on with the estate, you know, Joe is suing for wrongful death, and now Joe is having to argue that to qualify to sue for wrongful death, he's got to argue that Michael Jackson was supporting him. The fact is, Michael Jackson didn't like his dad and even cut him out of the will. So now Michael is saying, now Joe is saying that Catherine was an agent for Michael Jackson. And when Michael would give Catherine a weekly allowance of around $60,000, excuse me, a monthly of $60,000,
wow,
that she would then feed Joe money to support him. And it was all done through through Catherine. But basically, Joe is saying that Michael was, that Catherine was Michael's agent in this. And that's how he qualifies to sue for wrongful death.
But so he was suing her for wrongful death. How are they together on this then?
No. He's not suing her. He's suing Dr. Murray for
wrongful
death.
Oh, I thought
death.
He was suing her too.
No.
Okay.
No. They are joined at the hip. I mean, they've had kind of a relationship where they've been living apart, but they're never going to divorce. And, you know, he's lived in Las Vegas for a lot of the time. She's lived in Los Angeles. But ultimately, he controls the family. I mean, he really runs that family with an iron fist. And she does what he wants to do.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, it has met with a lot of displeasure in that estate.
I am so surprised, by the way, that Michael Jackson's children have not started recording music yet, Harvey.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens eventually.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Would you?
No, not at all.
I'm surprised they haven't already.
Yeah.
It's almost irresistible, but, you know, how many, I'm trying to think, who, I'm sure there is, but who has been bigger than the parent who was famous in the first place?
There are a lot more examples of a Lisa Marie Presley or somebody who kind of has a novelty career. Exactly. Yeah.
I can't think right now of any offspring.
I got one.
That did, oh,
I got
oh, oh, Enrique Iglesias.
I was going to say Sean Lennon.
Yeah. Bigger than dad. Nope. You're right about that. Well, you're right. There are thousands of untold stories in the Jackson family. And one day when they're all gone, we're probably going to hear about them. But Harvey, keep up the great work at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Have a great meeting. And as always, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
Thank you, bye.
Kevin, I got some bad news for you.
What?
Luke from Quake Prediction canceled his interview with us today.
Yeah, I know.
Will not be speaking with us today, probably because of what we did to him on Friday when his last earthquake prediction didn't come through. Now he's not going to talk to us because this one didn't come through either.
Yeah, well, we were asking him to take down his site. And
right.
I don't think
he doesn't want to deal with that.
Any interest in that, because if he keeps predicting, he's going to be right eventually.
That
eventually,
is true.
Exactly. Well, now he's saying October 20th, just so you know. First, though, let's turn our attention to our good friend Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated radio and television personality, talking deportes. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
Bueno, deportes.
All I know is on this show Friday, the only words I heard out of Kevin's mouth were, he was filling out his football pool, here's the lock. Here's the one game I can guarantee is New Orleans over Arizona. Nothing can stop that from happening.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing's guaranteed in the NFL, man.
And I'm an Arizona fan, but they're terrible.
Well, they did let go of, you know, that first-round pick, Matt Leinart.
Sure.
They do have an undrafted rookie out of BYU starting at quarterback.
Right. But, they've got it all on paper.
So how do they beat the Saints by 10, Money? What happened?
I guess it kind of goes back to that old adage, which is, it's the NFL. Everybody's really good. You know,
yeah.
I mean, everyone on every team is really good, and sooner or later, you know, those upsets are just going
to
happen.
But how am I supposed to get more than 8 wins in my stupid pool? For God's sakes, I'm thinking of bringing back
Felt Tip.
It's about time.
Old Felt Tip. I know he's retired and living large out in Palm Springs.
He is.
But,
Felt Tip invested
back.
Well. Yeah. I don't know. It's ridiculous. But
Money, do you have a football pool? And if so, how do you do?
No, I have a fantasy football team that I lose every year.
Okay.
You know, like I do more research than everyone else, and
that's
I end
the kiss
up
of death. Of course,
it doesn't make any sense.
Some the people that win are the ones that pick by jersey color and the name if it sounds pretty.
Same kind of people that have websites that predict earthquakes.
Correct.
That's who wins.
Yeah.
Now I got an earful from Raider fans on the Twitter this weekend
sure.
who love to mock me because I love to mock them when they lose. It was the first time since when? Since all the way back in 2003 that Oakland beat San Diego? That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, they had lost 13 straight. Yeah, San Diego is kind of a weird team this year. You look at them and they're really good. They have a ton of talent. Of course, you know, they have their number one wide receiver, Vincent Jackson, out because he wanted more money. And, you know, he had a couple DUIs and was playing his music loud, all that sort of stuff. So they weren't sure if he was worth a long-term deal. So that's the one thing is Phillip Rivers doesn't have his favorite wide receiver. You know, he's got Antonio Gates, but it's just, for some reason, that team's just not right, and no one can kind of figure it out. You know, they have not won a game in division. They lost to the crappy Seahawks. They lost to the crappy Raiders. And I guess, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, and that's kind of what was expected of San Diego, those aren't the games you lose. And,
no.
And that clearly kind of raises that red flag about whether or not they can do it. And their window's closing. You know, they got guys that are getting old. That defense is getting old. And this is probably like their last year, maybe one more, where they've got a shot at that.
It's like they have all the pieces out on the field. They just can't figure out how to put them in the right order.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, and it just goes to, hey, I look at this team on paper. I mean, I did the USC game on Saturday. You look at that team on paper, and it's like, why the hell are they so bad?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but
no.
That's why it's impossible to pick, because you can look at it on paper and go, this team sucks, and then they do well.
Hey, man, Felt Tip.
Felt Tip.
Breaking Felt.
Let's talk Chicago. Was that a fluke, beating Carolina 23-6?
Well, Carolina's terrible.
Right.
They're terrible. You know, I mean, they have Jimmy Clausen, who, of course, a local kid from Oaks Christian, playing quarterback. He's a rookie. He can't play quarterback. He looks awful. You know, and all they did was run the ball and play good D. And you know what? That's what they did in 2006 when they went to the Super Bowl. They ran the hell out of the ball. They had a circus at quarterback in Rex Grossman.
Sure.
And had a great defense. And it, you know, took them all the way to Miami, where they got shelled by Indianapolis. But, I mean, look, when you can do that, you can win a lot of games. And that's how, remember, the Jets did that last year.
Yeah.
You know, they had Mark Sanchez, a rookie at quarterback. They ran the ball. They played great D. Does my voice really sound this bad right
does.
Now?
Yeah,
it sounds real rough. Did you just wake up, or are you sick, Money?
No, you know what? I have the carnival. The old carnival was in town.
The carnival?
So, you know, the local kid's school.
Yeah. Right.
And you're there, and you're talking, and you're screaming at people because everyone wants to talk to you because it's the festive atmosphere.
Oh, I see. I thought maybe you were one of those guys that goes, step right up. Come on. Step right up. Get on the ride.
Normally I am.
Must be this tall to ride.
Hey, I know it's 5 weeks into the season, which is a healthy percentage of an NFL season of only 16 games. But if you're a Cowboys fan, are you thinking it's over for your team, or can they still recover?
You know, that's a good question, because there's another team that, you know, again, on paper, really good, you know, although it seems like all the NFL guys that I talk to, they're not crazy about Tony Romo like the rest of people are. You know, they don't think that he makes good decisions, that even though you look at his statistics and he's like the number two or three quarterback every year, for some reason, he just can't quite put it together. He makes the mistake at the wrong time.
Right.
He can't lead that game-winning drive with 2 minutes left. And when you have so much of that offense predicated on that guy making those decisions to get you your wins, you know, you're going to live or die by him. And I think that's kind of what they've run into. And the funny thing is, they have a really good running back in Marion Barber. They've got a good running back in Felix Jones. And it's like they don't lean on those guys enough. I mean, the great thing is, it's the Cowboys, and screw them. So the more they lose, the better.
better it is for the rest of
the game. Yeah, I agree. Let's talk Minnesota Jets tonight. Is it tonight?
Do we talk about the game or do we talk about a penis?
Well, let's.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is there a story there? Like, I mean, what's the common wisdom? Is this all nothing or is it going to come to.
I think it's real. I think it really happened.
He's
it's just
this
a question
dumb.
Of whether anyone's going to call him on it.
Yeah, he left the messages. He sent pictures of his wiener.
Yeah, I think the reason why you could say it's real is because the NFL doesn't give a crap about legal issues. You know, if for people that don't know the story, there's a girl that was, you know, a cheerleader kind of, you know, that worked sideline. She was a sideline girl for the Jets. And, you know, she was made famous because she took pictures of her boobs popping out of her shirt while at Florida State games. So.
Oh, it was that chick?
Yeah, it was Jen Sturger.
Sure.
So she, started allegedly getting these voicemail messages from Brett Favre and texts from him. And, it's a Mississippi area code, so, you know, whatever.
Sounds like him.
Yeah. It does sound like him, yeah.
And then that turns into, you know, penis photos that come over the old.
As it always does, by the way.
Right, doesn't it eventually?
We've all been there, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, sooner or later it ends up.
So what happens? I know the league is, quote-unquote, investigating. What are they likely to do? Because there's nothing illegal going on here. It's the morals clause is what they're concerned about, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they have a morals clause.
That's funny in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was accused of sexual assault. He seems like a giant douchebag. You know, it allegedly did it. The charges were dropped. Didn't matter to Roger Goodell, the commissioner. He suspended him for 4 games. And that's the kind of thing he could do to Brett Favre. You know, if he decides that, yeah, that's Brett Favre's junk. And by the way, Brett, way to go, man. I mean, really, way to go.
No, that was good. that's the way you want to go out. You want to fight people to come back to the league and then make everyone hate you and then go out on a sex scandal.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I mean, I know it probably sounds kind of gay that I really got this detailed and checking these photos out, but I just found them so amusing. You know?
How is it? I haven't seen the junk.
Well, not impressive.
Not impressive?
Not impressive, but just the different angles, you know, trying to make it impressive by the angle. like does the old two-finger trick instead of the whole hand. Like, hey, I'm holding it. Look at how much you're showing. I'm holding it, man. What do you think?
I saw, what's his name? Is it Jay Marriott, that NFL insider guy on Fox who gets all the dirt? And he said that the Jets players will not even bring it up to Brett. Even though, generally in a locker room, you make fun of everybody for everything, they are terrified of what this is going to do, to Brett's head if this becomes a big, big issue because they need him so desperately right now to play well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, the Vikings have one shot at it. We mentioned the window for the Chargers, the window for the Cowboys, all that sort of stuff. The window for the Vikings is this year and this year only.
Because they lose everybody at the end of this year, right?
Yeah, well, they just, you know, Favre's 41. They built everything around his return. I mean, look, they still have one of the best running backs, the best running back in the league in Adrian Peterson. But, you know, Randy Moss is old. They got to decide if they want to give him a contract extension, and so this is it for them. I mean, there's no question. So it would be pretty great. I mean, it would be pretty freaking great if their season was just kicked off the rails because of penis photos.
Exactly. Penisgate 2010. Well,
right? I mean, imagine you're a Vikings fan. They've never won the Super Bowl.
He's the great hope.
Yeah, and in 20 years, you're telling your kids, let me tell you, man, 2010 was the year, but freaking penis photos took us down.
Well, the schedulers knew what they were doing when they picked this Monday night in October for Minnesota versus Brett Favre's old team, the Jets. It's going to be great tonight. Listen, Money, feel better, man. I hope that voice recovers before the PMS show today. But as always, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We love it.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Thank you, man. Bye.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Ask a Border Patrol agent coming up after the top of the hour. That should be fascinating. We're also happy to welcome Ralph Garman back to the Kevin Bean Show after a couple weeks off. Time to do the showbiz beat the way it was meant to be done.
Ah, oh, God bless you, people. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. It's Monday morning, so we always take a look. The Social Network continues to be at the top of the heap.
I saw that one this week. Why did no one tell me that was good?
Oh, Gilligan. $15.5 million kept it at the number one slot. Life as We Know It, in its debut weekend, made $14.6 million, good enough to make it number two. Secretariat was third with $12.6 million. Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly. Fourth to the box office, My Soul to Take. Fifth, The Town, came in at number six. Wall Street sequel, Money Never Sleeps, was number seven. Easy A, Case 39. Anyone? Case 39, anyone? Ringing a bell? Anyone seen a poster, a billboard, a leaflet? Has anyone seen a leaflet for
Bradley
the movie?
Cooper.
I think they were giving out leaflets.
Renee Zellweger. This is a movie that has been on the shelf for 3 years, and they finally released it because it had some success overseas.
They didn't release it. It escaped. But really, have you seen any commercials or advertising or anything?
Saw one trailer.
Any
for
awareness?
One trailer.
In a theater.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've just...
Well, they haven't bent over backwards marketing it, if that's what you're saying.
They have little to no faith in this film, I'm getting the sense.
Yeah.
And you again.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Kristen Bell's going to leave that one off her IMDb page, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to let that one just slide. Speaking of Kristen Bell, or Kristen Bell.
Either one.
Either one of those people.
No!
Came out last week.
That's Christian Bale, Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
Came out last week that finally, they're getting around to giving us a brand new version of the Munsters on television.
Yay! It's an odd choice.
Thank God. Herman and Lily and Grandpa and Eddie will be on our TV screens again. And the producer, Brian Fuller, apparently used to work with Kristen Bell and Veronica Mars and says she would be perfect for Marilyn. He would love to see her play Marilyn. You remember, Marilyn was the hot blonde niece of the Munsters who was normal, and they felt bad for her because they thought she was all hunked up looking when they were in fact monsters.
I like Kristen Bell a lot, though. So
but
that
really
helps.
The Munsters?
I'm saying it helps.
Of course, if she could do you again, she could certainly go do the Munsters. Apparently, she doesn't really, you know, it's not that picky about her projects.
I didn't mind the Munsters as a TV show of its time.
I didn't mind the Munsters.
I don't think it needs to be remade at all.
No, of course not.
It was fine at the time.
It was fine when we all had three networks. It was fine when it was sort of a novelty act to say, oh, look, Frankenstein's going to a PTA meeting. Okay.
Right.
Ha, 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 ha. It was fine in black and white when we had nothing else to watch after school and reruns. But no, we don't need new Munsters.
And they can leave the Addams Family behind, too, while they're at it, by the way. But they still keep remaking that and making new incarnations of that show, too.
But they say this version's going to be edgy.
No! No!
A cross of True Blood and Modern Family, the producer says.
Okay.
If they could come through on that, they would be geniuses.
Yeah, that's... look, stranger things have happened. I'm just saying,
I'm
not hopeful. More good TV news. Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Who apparently does his best work on made-for-television movies these days instead of the big theater ones. He is going to play Phil Spector in a new movie about his life and, consequently, his arrest and sentencing for murder.
I could see that.
HBO movie.
Yeah. Great casting.
That's the dude with the hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Many wigs. Man of many wigs was Phil Spector.
He crazy.
He'd go into court with one of his giant, just teased-out wigs and sit there looking all scary.
And refused to admit that he had a hairpiece, by the way. Claimed it was his real
hair. That was his real hair. Until he saw, like, the mugshot, the photo in prison of him, just like balls of cue ball with all that long, stringy hair around the outside. David Mamet apparently has signed on to write the screenplay. So there's a pedigree for you, those two.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
I can't wait.
If Al thanked the makeup people for Dr. Kevorkian, what's he going to do if he wins an Emmy for Phil Spector with wigs he'll be wearing? the wigs. The wig people. Come on now, wig people. I want him to win so badly.
He's so not a good public speaker.
And how did Sesame Street become the funniest show on television?
I didn't know it had.
Hot right now.
It has. They are hot. They are coming up with some funny, funny stuff. First, they gave us that Katy Perry.
But they didn't air it.
They didn't air it because the people have their panties in a wad. But they produced it. They wanted to air it.
Yeah.
And now they've come up with a very funny Old Spice parody. You know the commercials, the Old Spice commercials?
Is that I'm on a horse?
I'm on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is,
those are good.
This is about the word on.
Okay.
And Grover does a parody of the Old Spice commercials. And it's very hilarious.
They're hipping it up?
They're very much so. Huh. This came out this weekend. I thought you wanted to get a little taste.
Hello, everybody. Look at yourself. Now back to me. Now back at yourself. Now back to me. Sadly, you are not a monster. But if you listen to Grover, you will know all about the word on, just as this monster does. Look down. Back up. Yeah. Where am I? I am on a boat. What is in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It is a clam with two tickets to that thing you love. On my nose? Anything is possible when you smell like a monster and know the word on. I am on a horse. Moo. Cow.
He's on a cow. I don't know where it's at all. It's very entertaining. I love Grover. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Trachtenberg is 25 years old today. Actress Emily Deschanel, newlywed to my buddy Dave Hornsby, is 34 years old today. Stephen Moyer, speaking of True Blood, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
He also is Anna Paquin's husband. 41 years old today. Jane Krakowski of 30 Rock celebrates her 42nd birthday. Luke Perry turns 44.
Well, you got Gossip Girl tonight, and then you got Beverly Hills 90210 on Tuesday, and that's the one when they have the big drag race with the GTO judge.
Right.
Yeah. So that should be happening on Tuesday.
Okay.
That should be
on
happening.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Right, that's where that will be happening.
Good update. What's happening?
Only Rodney finds TV shows to watch because of what cars are racing in them.
All right, GTO.
Joan Cusack celebrates her 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I've never seen Dave, the King of Mexico, move so fast as he did to get out of this building.
Wow. All of a sudden, James shows up in his little Border Patrol outfit, and Dave's out of here, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kevin and Bean Show. We have a long tradition of getting the people in front of the microphone that you have questions for. Fascinating jobs that we can't even imagine what they're like, and we're very excited today to present for you Ask a Border Patrol Agent.
You better have a card that's green, green, not a smuggler. Watch out if you're a counterfeiter. KMB show, Border Patrol.
That's the border.
Troll.
We need to institute drug testing.
Smuggler.
No kidding. Can we get Omar deported while we're at it? Hey, the man we'll call James, although his real name is Dave. How are you, James?
Pretty good.
Good, thank you. You emailed us out of the blue some time back, volunteering yourself for Ask a Border Patrol Agent. How come?
I was sitting on the border looking at Mexico, and I was like, listening to my podcast while I was working, and I was like, damn, I'm bored. I want to talk to these guys.
Wow.
Hey, that's easy.
Right. Was some of it that you feel that there is not a real understanding among the citizenry about what it is you guys do and what your job is actually like?
A bunch of misconceptions. People just think, well, we kick people out, and it's not just that.
Yeah, because you also accept bribes to let people in, right? I mean, that's the other half of your job, right? That's the one that no one talks about, right?
Not me. There's been guys, usually in Texas, but...
All right. Well, before we open it up for calls at 1-800-520-1067, let's learn a little bit about you, James. What's your background? How did you end up in this job?
I was in the military for 8 years.
You're like 19. When did you join the military?
He does. He looks so young.
Honestly.
17 and a half. I got a waiver.
Really?
Yep.
Wow,
so
okay.
I'm still in, technically, in the reserves.
Oh, so you're still in the Army Reserves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what made you join the U.S. Border Patrol?
My buddy joined right after me. We got out, and he was like, come join the Border Patrol. And I was like, nah, I'll be civilian for a couple years. You know, get a normal job.
Sure.
Stuck working at Best Buy. And
that sounds great.
Yeah. And so I was just... went online and applied, and a couple years later, here I am.
So basically, you needed the work, and it was available. They were hiring. That's how you ended up doing it, right? Okay, so tell us about your job. What is it? What's a typical day like for you?
Most of the times, I do checkpoint work.
Oh, you do? So you're one of the guys that waves the people through, and you ask them if they have any fruit or whatever it is, and then or drugs or money?
Not fruit.
They say no, and then you just go, come on in.
No, it's. I usually ask, can you state your citizenship?
Mm-hmm.
And I love the people, the Americans, who go, I'm Californian.
Yes. That's good.
And once I get that info, people act weird. You know, they'll look at me and they'll be like, I'm American. And I'll be like, oh, so you were born in L.A. hospital, L.A. General. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, there's no L.A. General.
Oh, nice. Look at you. Got such a trap.
It's so interesting you would say that, James, because I crossed a border this weekend. This is Bean speaking. I live in Seattle, and I went up to Vancouver for the weekend, right? And I swear to God, I think that's what they do, is they try to trip you up. The guy asks me, hey, where are you from? This is the agent going into Canada. He says, where are you from? I said, I live in Seattle, Washington. He's like, all right, what are you coming to Vancouver for? I said, just hanging out for the weekend, get a haircut. And he says he says, oh, did you drive all the way up here from California?
Ooh.
Now, did he, even though California was not in the mix, I told him I live in Washington. I have Washington plates on my car. Is that a typical kind of question you ask to see if the person is going to screw up and answer incorrectly?
Yeah, we basically, most people don't remember their story completely. So when you throw something out of the blue, like, did you come from California? And you happen to go, oh, yes, I did, to go buy weed.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the purpose of doing that is just to see if the person is shaky, if there's something suspicious about him that now you might want to pull him over, do some secondary screening. Is that why he would ask a question like that, that seemingly was out of the blue?
Yeah, usually we tend to do that. We tend to ask you key questions, you know, see how you react.
What's the biggest tell that people have with their body language that you can, that guy's lying?
Sweaty palms.
Really?
And they won't look me in the eyes. They look straight. They grab the steering wheel, death grip.
Death grip, okay.
You see their knuckles start to white, and they try not to look at you.
You pull over a very tiny percentage of the actual cars. I mean, every car that comes into the United States, you know, quote unquote, legally, somebody who goes through the checkpoint, who knows what they've got in the trunk or underneath the seat or anything like that? Obviously, you can't check them all, but you're looking for those kinds of tells to determine whether you want to investigate further, right?
Yeah. I like the dogs. They work good.
The dogs seem to sniff it out, right? I watch that Border Wars show. Are you on that, Border Wars?
I'd like not to admit that, but I have friends who have been on it.
You have friends who have been on it. Okay. Yeah, because that's good, because you see those cars coming through, and I mean, they hollow those cars out and pack them with hundreds of pounds of everything. I mean, just crazy.
Why don't they always use dogs? Because they're so good.
Because we have so few dogs.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
you can't make more dogs. They're tough to make. Super tough to get a litter of puppies going. I see that. What's been the most exciting person that you've pulled out of line or whatever? Have you caught anybody that was potentially threatening or dangerous in your line of work?
I wouldn't say super dangerous. He was a rapist. He was convicted.
Was he in Lincoln Park?
Yeah. No, sometimes felons like to try to come back across the border thinking we won't check them out.
And you're not allowed to let them in, right?
Yeah.
I
send them back.
And how did you discover that he was a felon?
He came through the checkpoint, and, you know, I started asking him questions. He got all nervous because I said, you know, what's your purpose of your visit? Where are you going to? Wouldn't give me a straight answer. I sent him to secondary. That's where, you know, we have them wait. They park their car. Another agent went over after I sent him there, started talking to the guy. The guy just says, I give up.
What?
I'm like, okay, you give up. We took him into station.
So you didn't even know what he was giving up for?
Yeah, we didn't even know.
He's a terrible criminal.
He is.
You didn't have any idea.
Now, he was a felon, so did he get arrested and sent to...
He got sent back. We basically...
You just bump him back?
Well, we don't just bump him. I mean, we usually set him up for a notice to appear before a judge. And they go before a judge, they go to holding cell, stuff like that.
Okay.
James, what percentage, if you can, I assume it's going to be a guess, but what percentage of the border crossing traffic is legal versus illegal? I'm talking about our southern border now, U.S.-Mexico.
50%.
I'm sorry?
Really?
50%.
So as many people come through your legal checkpoint, that many people, again, are walking over.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean... If I'm at the checkpoint.
Great job, James.
We don't have enough manpower, to be honest. I mean, the Army's augmenting us right now in the southern border. We just had 1,500 soldiers, you know.
So. Wow. And you use helicopters for the areas where you can't really get to.
Yeah, easily. UAVs. We use those.
We're going to take calls for our guest. If you want to ask a Border Patrol agent at 1-800-520-106, and we'll come back with your calls in a minute. Let me ask you one more thing before the break. We have often talked to folks in the Army or other armed services branches, and sometimes they have a difference in personal opinion versus what their professional job is, and sometimes they have to do things that they don't want to do. Are folks of two minds in the Border Patrol agent world, too, where there are people who disagree maybe with the policy or disagree with the way the government is handling the border, but still kind of is out there trying to do it?
Definitely. That's a loaded question. But, yeah, most of the people I work with, sometimes it's kind of redundant what we do.
What does that mean, it's redundant?
Most people we catch, it's not, you know, people say, oh, you got deported. No, you sign a waiver called a voluntary return. You admit that you're here illegally, and we kick you back.
Oh, and then they come back the same days?
I've caught one guy twice in a day.
In the same day?
Yes. Because if you catch him in the AM, caught him at 2 in the morning. I had just started my shift midnight, caught him at 2 in the morning. We have a contractor, Wackenhut. They take the people back for us, drop them off at the gate.
Right.
And I saw that guy as I was getting off my shift.
Oh, that must make you feel great. Your mission accomplished.
All right. Very interesting. Do you have a question for a Border Patrol agent? 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. Ask a Border Patrol agent up next here on the Kevin and Bean. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is time for your questions as we ask a Border Patrol agent.
You better have a card that's green, green, not a smuggler. Smuggler, watch out if you're a counterfeiter. KMB Show, Border Patrol.
That's the Border
Patrol, troll, 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 troll.
Yep. He is our special guest in studio today. We are calling him James. He is in the Army and also serves as a Border Patrol agent. We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Ruby, who probably has the most commonly asked question, I would imagine. Ruby, hi, you're on with James. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I currently took the test for Border Patrol on Friday. I know I have to wait for my test results, but what other qualifications can you throw out there for me that can look good on my resume or just to give me more points?
Yeah, what are the requirements for being a Border Patrol agent? I'm sure some people find that fascinating.
I mean, you got to have great vision. You have to be competent, obviously, common sense. The biggest thing that kills people at the academy is being in shape.
Oh, really?
I mean, physically fit, actually. In shape is a different thing, but physically fit.
Right.
Run, Ruby. Start running.
Run.
Ruby sounds fat to me. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, man.
Does this sound like she could lose a few? I mean, come on. Thank you for the call, Ruby. What about, I have heard that you require a good credit history to be a Border Patrol agent to make you less susceptible to graft and bribes. Is that true?
Totally true.
No kidding. You have to have a good credit score.
I'm lucky. I'm Asian. I had like 750.
What about the guys? Have you been the guy who's not at the checkpoint, but who's actually down, you know, keeping his eyes open, looking for people running across the fence? Have you been that guy too?
Yep. Usually that guy.
Good times?
You're usually that guy.
Is that boring most of the time? And then, is there action all day?
I don't know how to describe it. It's like waiting for Christmas. You just sit there and you're like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And there are shifts where nothing comes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there are shifts where 20 of them come.
Right.
Then it gets really good because you're like calling for backup. You're starting the chase already, either on foot.
Now, when you chase, and this is what I saw on Border Wars, if they have drugs with them, they always have guns is pretty much the rule.
Pretty much.
So you don't know whether it's going to be that or it's just going to be a family, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I see huge backpacks on, you know, like a 5-year-old girl, I'm like, okay, you're a drug smuggler.
You shoot her right then?
In the back.
Buried her in a shallow grave?
No, I mean, most people, you could tell. I mean, families, you know, it'll be small groups. They all look alike.
Yeah.
Sure. Because you're Asian.
Paint a picture for me here, James. Is it like a war that you might see in another country where the U.S. is in Iraq or in Afghanistan, places you have experience with? I mean, are there literally people on the American side shooting at people on the Mexican side and vice versa as if it were an active combat zone?
Yes. I'm a veteran of both wars. I got buddies in Laredo sector, and they say it's, you know, they're also veterans, and they're telling me, dude, we just put on a different uniform.
That's just still shooting across the border, and this is the whole drug thing, right?
Yeah, the whole cartel thing.
It's just exploded in the last, how many years? Five?
5-10 years. Yeah. I mean, big money, you know. Well, we have a bounty on our heads.
You have a bounty on your head?
Really?
50,000 wow. Dead, and I don't even want to know how much it is alive.
Really?
I know it's a lot more than that.
Wow.
So there's can we collect?
get him. He's Asian. Let's take Erica real quick on line 5, 1-800-520-1067. Erica, you're on the air. Time to ask a Border Patrol agent. Go ahead.
First of all, I want to say Sharktopus was an amazing movie.
There you go, good.
Second of all, what on earth are we supposed to do when we see them? I'm sitting on the 405, and I am surrounded by about 100, and my neighbors next door have Mexican fiestas every Saturday, and I know we can take them all out.
But wait a minute. You're not just looking for Mexicans. You're looking for illegals, right?
No, of course.
Are you from Arizona?
I'm not.
Okay.
What are we supposed to do when we see quote-unquote them, James?
Call your local law enforcement if you have an
iPhone.
Yeah,
they've got time for that. They've got time to deal with that, by the way.
You want to call, you know, local law enforcement, look for your local Border Patrol station, give us a call. And
okay.
We'll get rid of them.
All right. You'll just toss them back across the border so they can come back in.
Yeah, I'll wait for them.
Does it ever feel like you're just spinning your wheels when you see the same people coming over time and time again? Doesn't it just feel like, hey, why don't we do something that sticks?
The way it's set up now, it's like a revolving door. They come in, I push you out, and you'll be back in a couple of days. I mean, I caught a guy once, 26 voluntary returns.
26
wow.
times.
Wow.
What that tells me was the agents before me were all too lazy to set up a notice to appear, an NTA.
Oh, I see. So then once you do that.
Because then he would get a hard deport. But it's just easier, you know. You want to be quick. You want to go home some days. We call those people slugs.
Slugs.
You know, if you want to be a slug, you know, whatever. Give them another voluntary return, even if it's 26 times.
But wow. Look, somebody who comes in 26 times, whether you give him a hard deport or not, he's still going to try to come back in.
Oh, yeah. He's still going to try to come back in. But then that's when, you know, we can actually give him jail time, you know, stuff like that.
But don't you have to give him credit for stick-to-itiveness, you know?
No. He's really bad at getting over the border.
Well,
other people manage.
That's true.
What's
he's terrible.
His deal? Yeah, he's terrible.
He gets caught every time.
We're going to take a break and come back with more calls, James. But real quick, what's the status of the fence that I've heard so much about? How much fence is there along the southern U.S. border now? And what do you think should be done with the fence?
There's about 700, 800 miles that it is actually completed.
And how much is not completed?
About 2,000.
No worries.
Okay.
I should do it.
Is the fence that's up now, is it effective?
No.
All right.
Really? They went to all that trouble?
Why is it not effective?
I've been parts of the fence where they've actually taken, like, torches, cut the fence.
They just cut it down.
Installed their own little gate, a latch gate.
That's nice of them.
Put a door on the fence.
They
put
a lock on it. Any time, cross over, close the gate, latch it.
That doesn't sound safe.
How incompetent.
There's no point in building the rest.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What a waste of money that would be.
I know I'm asking you to oversimplify, and I apologize, but are we incompetent as a nation, or is this problem just we don't have a solution, we don't know how to fix it?
It's not that we're incompetent, it's just that we don't have enough people, to be honest.
That's
And
it's not a high enough priority in the administration.
Well, and I think the U.S. doesn't actually want to declare war at the border.
Well, no, of course not. Because they're politicians.
And the only way to really do it would be to do that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. You're talking 20,000 people on both borders, you know, not split up.
Right.
That's not going to keep out 20 million people trying to come over.
Was there some kick-ass graffiti along this fence?
Yes.
All right, your call's next, 1-800-520-1067.
Ask a Border Patrol agent is on the air here on the Kevin and Bean Show. James is in studio. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, the sexual tension between James and Lisa May, I mean, you can cut it with a knife in here. It's crazy the way they're going at each other,
isn't
it?
There's some stuff going on, for sure.
I don't know that I would consider it sexual tension, though.
Well, this is how it always starts in romantic movies. We hate each other, and then one day we just fall in love.
Yeah. Well, speaking of checkpoints, Lisa May.
Yeah, you gotta like to see it.
Nice.
Lisa loves a man in a uniform. Hey, real quick, before we go back to the calls here, James, Brad, a listener in Minnesota, writes, hey, Bean, enjoying the segment. Could you please ask your Border Patrol agent what you think of the Minutemen? Does he feel that they help or hurt his work? Now, these, for folks who don't recognize the name, these are basically citizen activists who go down there with guns. They're not hired to patrol the border, but they
wannabe
do it anyway.
Cops.
What do you think there, dude?
Love them.
He's being politically correct.
Yes, yes.
Make my job easier.
So you're grateful for the help?
I am, actually. It takes a good class, you know, good classy person, not Lisa May, to go ahead and work for free and get rid of these people. I mean.
But they're limited as to what they can do. They don't have any kind of authority, though, to grab somebody that's running across the border and hold them down, do they?
No, they don't. But think about it like this. The people coming over don't have any rights to even be here, so why not be able to grab them?
But do they?
You must be.
Oh, they do?
You must be conflicted, though, over the, hey, they're here illegally, and they have to play by the rules everybody else does. And these people, you know, this particular family, super, super poor, and if I were in their position, I'd probably
You'd
do the same thing.
You'd be trying to do the same thing, yeah,
There's
got to
be some kind of conflict like that, no? Not really?
No, not really.
All right.
Sorry, I was burping. No, not really. These people, I mean, you know, just do it the right way. Wait your time.
Well, they'll never get over.
Is that true?
I think it's luck of the draw. I mean, some people aren't meant to come over.
Wow.
Okay.
Harsh.
But seriously, if you were there and you could not make a living, would you not, with your family, would you not try to get to some place where you could?
I feel it's too dangerous nowadays. Trying to come over, you know, stuck in the middle of the desert.
But lots of people are able to do it.
Yeah, but lots of them die.
That's true. I mean,
but my gardener didn't. He's fine. He's happy. Jesus is living the big life, man.
Maybe we need to do a follow-up on that. On Jesus.
We're only going to get to hear the intro one more time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to Ask a Border Patrol Agent.
You better better have a card that's green, green, not a smuggler. Smuggler, watch out if you're a counterfeiter. KMB show, KMB show, Border Patrol.
That's the border.
Patrol, troll, 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 troll.
All right, I'd like to hear to Victor. Victor has an interesting question. Hi, Victor.
All right.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
All right, my question is, what happens to everything you get to confiscate, like the cocaine, the crystal meth? What happens to all that stuff?
Well, you want
the
it?
Money? No, I'm just curious to know where it goes.
Where did the drugs go?
Back to the streets.
Are they destroyed, in quotes?
You sell it?
No, no, no. Oh. We usually turn that stuff over to the DEA.
Okay,
we,
usually.
Yeah, usually. the good guys.
Tell us about the story that you heard about the horse trailer and the money.
What? I didn't hear this.
Oh, man, that was a good one. I heard about that. That was in a different sector.
And what was it? There was how much money in it?
I think it was $2 million in cash.
Now, if I'm a Border Patrol agent and I come across $2 million in cash, I'm thinking...
Peace out, America.
Right. That's what I'm
Peace
thinking.
Peace out, America.
I'm thinking, hey, bosses, I just found $1 million in cash. Right?
Exactly.
That's what you tell them. Well, is that tempting?
Usually when I find $250,000 like that, it's, it comes through, we get it, and there's that awkward moment where you're looking at your guy and be like, I hope this guy isn't going to shoot me. There's nobody around, you know, stuff like that. I mean, there are guys I've worked with, and I'm like, am I going to die today?
Wait, you mean shot by your own guys?
Yeah. That's a lot of money. People will do crazy. There's corrupt people everywhere.
Really? Yeah, right. So you find $250,000 and you have to watch your own back from your own people.
Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That's shocking.
All right, we got
just
time for one more. Let's talk line five is Eric. Yeah, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. You're on with the Border Patrol agent. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys have ever sent an illegal to the wrong location.
What does that mean?
Send
him to Canada?
And you sent, yeah, or like sent him way down south to like Brazil or something.
All right, that's a dumb question. I'm sorry that got on the air. I apologize that we wasted everyone's time.
Right,
no, that's not a dumb one. No.
Then what don't I understand about this?
We got a lot of people who claim to be from Mexico. Because if they get deported, it's that much easier to come back.
Oh,
but they're
so
not
if they're
really
from Brazil or wherever.
Guatemala, El Salvador.
El Salvador, yeah.
Darn you.
They say Mexico because they don't have as far to come when you...
Exactly.
No kidding.
They'll claim they're Mexican, and they'll go back to Mexico.
Eric, accept our apologies. That was a great question.
So glad you asked. I'm not smart enough to have thought of it. We appreciate it very much. All right. Final words. Anything before we say goodbye, James, that you want to let people know about being a Border Patrol agent? Any misconception you want to clear up? You just want to make out with Lisa and call it a day?
There's no making out. They're going to fight in the parking lot. God, don't even get me started on Lisa.
All right.
Honestly, it's a great job. It's law enforcement like any other job. It has its dangers. But, I mean, you're doing a good thing. We don't just kick people out. People go, oh, yeah, you just kick poor, helpless people out. No, we get smugglers, drug smugglers,
yeah,
murderous, rapists. You know, we're the people that stop these people from coming in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you know,
about
we can only do
time,
so much.
We're learning.
Well, yeah, but it's easy to summarize it all as black and white. Either they're criminals or they're helpless people, and I would do that too. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of in between.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of gray.
Yeah, so. But, you know, those lot of grays, most of the time they get by.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not gray, they're brown, but I'm saying.
James, thank
the gray
you for
ones we pick right out.
Nice.
Thank you for contacting us and volunteering to be on this segment. We enjoyed having you. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thanks.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
How can he think we're fun to listen to?
I know!
We insult him from the start to the beginning!
Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
From the start to the beginning?
From the start of one day to the beginning of the next.
Yes.
Is what I mean.
Oh, really? Man.
That's a reach even for you. You think you would have included any of those words if that's what you really meant.
I didn't stop performing because you were on vacation, Ralph.
From the start to the beginning.
That was the guy that...
We run the gamut from A to A.
That was the guy that made the earthquake prediction, and we had him scheduled for today again. Mm-hmm. We've talked to him like three times because his earthquake predictions don't come true, and he fell through. He said...
Maybe, yeah, no maybe thanks. He got caught in an earthquake.
Yeah, no.
You don't know.
You are listening to the Kevin DeBede Show. It is 7:58. It's Monday. Ralph Garman has returned. It's time to hear the showbiz beat the way the good Lord intended. And we apologize again for the piss-poor job we did filling in while you were gone, Ralph. But we did the best we could.
I did not get a chance to hear any of it.
But it was great.
But I have faith, and I think you all did a fine job.
Right. That's us. That's what we're known for, is stepping up.
I do like to hear about this Las Vegas death rate thing you mentioned earlier today.
Oh, that was
the best.
Sorry about
that. Best bit ever.
Yeah. By the way, EAGLES. Just want to get that in last night. National television, Kevin Cobb, the young quarterback for the Eagles, stepped up and played a pretty good game.
Now, I know we don't have much time here, but do you now have a quarterback controversy when everybody wants to see Michael Vick play next week against his old team, the Falcons?
No, they've already announced. As soon as Michael's healthy, he will be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. So it's not a controversy any longer.
That does seem like the call.
But he's banged up. He hurt his chest. That was the injury. And they say he should be ready by the Falcons. They're hoping he will be able to play against his old team. But people are just sort of skating over the fact that last night, LeSean McCoy, their starting running back for the Eagles, was out there playing, gained with catches and running from scrimmage, almost 150 yards. He's got a broken rib. That's what he was playing
broken
with.
Broken rib.
It's unbelievable.
A fractured rib.
Wow.
Have you ever had an injury to your ribs?
Yes.
I just had a bruised rib. Wasn't even fractured. I had to lay down for like a month.
Right. You know, any contact with anything, including your bed.
I didn't want to breathe or swallow or laugh or watching television hurt. He's out there running.
He's a running back?
Hit. Yes.
Wow.
It's insane. I don't know what kind of drugs they're pumping into him, but I want him. They said, can you sleep? He said, yeah, with the right pills. I can sleep. Yeah. Wow. That's like Kevin's fitness regime. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? The Social Network. $15.5 million made it number one yet again this week. We were talking about this film with Kevin Smith at the podcast thing we do every weekend.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about it. And Kevin brought up a good point. He's like, isn't it strange that now they're making movies about history that happened like 4 weeks ago? It is strange to do a
that is
sort
weird.
Of a capturing a historic moment that happened literally just a couple of years ago.
I think it's hard to identify moments like that, but this particular one you can identify.
Sure
as
did rock the world.
Changing life, yeah.
Life as We Know It came in at number two with $14.6 million. Secretariat was third. Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahuli, were number four at the box office with $7 million. My Soul to Take came in at fifth. Then The Town, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, Easy A, Case 39, and You Again. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, I don't have a lot of space in my world for celebrities who bitch about being famous.
Yeah.
About people who are stopped and complimented and talked to for work that they've done in the entertainment industry. I don't cotton to that much. But I think this one particular woman may have a reasonable point. Her name is Linda Blair. And you may or may not know her.
Yeah.
But around this time of year, especially around Halloween, she was in a film called The Exorcist.
How old was she?
She was 14 years old, Kevin, when she made that movie. She said she doesn't want to whine, but imagine doing something when you were 14 years old and having people talk about it to you every day for the rest of your life. Think about whatever you were doing when you were 14 years old. Now imagine that being the defining moment of your life where that's all anyone wants to talk to you about forever.
Yeah. We talked about how I think that contributed to killing Gary Coleman. I think that made his life so miserable being a child star and never hearing the end of it.
What you talk about me? she said this time of year is particularly difficult for her because Halloween, everyone starts talking about their scary movie favorites. And look, Exorcist is a brilliant film. She's lucky to have been in a classic, but I can imagine that would start to pay off.
It would only make it much worse if you didn't go on to do anything else.
Well, she said she's done Broadway. She's done a bunch of other films and stuff like that, but nothing has ever
matched.
That
no one remembers.
Yeah, nothing's ever matched that success. So.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that.
She threw up a lot.
She did, and her head went all the way around.
I just threw up in my mouth.
She was talented.
Let's ask her about it.
Speaking of being 14, the guy who discovered Taylor Swift when she was 14 is now suing her for millions of dollars. He's a music manager named Dan Dimitro. And he claims he noticed Taylor Swift when she was 14 years old.
Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah, look at that 14-year-old over there.
He signed her to a deal in April of 2004, he says. And then she and her family dumped him in July of 2005, just before she became a huge star.
Hmm.
He said he was entitled to between 5% and 10% of her earnings, But Taylor's parents strung him along and eventually fired him to avoid paying that money out. Now he's taking them to court saying he wants a piece of the pie.
Do you have any kind of paperwork?
He wants a piece of Taylor's 14-year-old pie.
Yeah. Ew.
Wow. Apparently there are some contracts, but it's all very complex. And a federal judge now in New York City is responsible for untying that knot and seeing if there's anything to his claim. But I can imagine...
I'm not going to copy that.
I can imagine it would be tough if you were working with someone.
Right. And they went on to superstar.
And then the big payday came, and you had already done some work laying the foundation for that person, and you got bupkis. So I can imagine.
Giddy up.
That would be rough.
That's real talk right there, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Trachtenberg is 25 years old today. Emily Deschanel of Bones turns 34. Stephen Moyer is 41 years old today. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock. And Ally McBeal, she's 42 years old. Luke Perry turns 44. Sean Patrick Flannery. Remember him? Remember Powder?
Powder.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And he was also young Indiana Jones. He's 45 years old today. Michael Nelson of Mystery Science Theater 3000 is 46. And Joan Cusack celebrates her 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Less than a month away from the 2010 elections. But already, Kevin, everybody's looking ahead toward 2012.
Don't even start. 2012.
We're assuming President Obama will run for re-election. It's not a guarantee at this point that he'll win. Who will be the Republican nominee? Maybe it's the maybe it's your Sarah Palin. Maybe it's your Donald Trump.
What?
Who knows?
What? Huh? What?
What's that? Where'd that name come from?
What? Huh?
Where do you think it came from? It came from Donald Trump. Oh. That's where it came
from. He's talking about running for president?
Yes, he is. He told Fox Network, I'm being totally serious. I can't stand what's happening to this country. I'm being serious about this. Doesn't say I'm going to do it, but we have no common sense. We're losing the country. Mark my words, if we keep going this way, we're losing this country. It will no longer be great. And he says he is the man to turn us around. You know, a lot of people say that there's something to be said for having a businessman run government, although those two things are generally run very differently. But Donald Trump for president, we wanted to find out more, so we asked producer Alex to get Mr. Trump on the line for us, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, the Don.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good.
Yes, you are. You're the greatest radio program that's ever been aired in the history of all terrestrial radio going through the air that received by other people of antennas and things that they listen to on radio.
All right, we'll take that. All right.
You're very kind, but also, again, a lot of hyperbole coming from you. So this report is accurate. You did, in fact, tell Fox News that you are seriously considering a run for the White House.
Absolutely. It's time for us to take this country back. And I'm so tired of seeing what's happening to this country.
Sure.
We need to bring back to the values that made America great.
And that would mean what?
All women have to be blonde and have 36 double D breasts.
Okay, when was that? Because I missed that part of our history.
Yeah, that is a good point.
That's one of my favorite things about America.
Okay, all right.
That's why my wives look alike.
They do.
Yeah, I was wondering, just because those are the criteria you have for someone that you'll marry doesn't mean that's something you can impose on 300 million people.
And don't forget my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh,
your daughter,
God,
too, yeah.
Does she have great cans?
Yeah, the surgery looks good on her.
That seems inappropriate.
Kind of odd for you to say that, though.
She is freaking hot.
Right, but let other people.
She is the hottest of all daughters I've ever had that have been the issue of my loins.
Right. It's just kind of creepy for the dad to talk about how hot the kid is. That's
sorry,
all.
Hot.
Okay, so how would things be different if you were to, say, get elected? You know, there's a tide of anti-Obama sentiment going around, and somehow you end up winning the White House, and then what? What do you do?
Well, my biggest strength, I think, would be dealing with foreign affairs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would have affairs with all kinds of women all over the world.
That's not what that means at all.
What does it mean?
It's interactions you have with other countries. It's how America relates to other countries around the world.
Well, I could do that, too. Instead of wars, what we would have is I would get representatives from all the different countries, and then I would make them compete by doing different sort of competitions.
But that's your TV show.
Okay, now China, you have to make a really good presentation for Kodak and give a great consumer experience. Go. And then if China doesn't do it, I blast them with a cannon.
What?
I attack them.
Okay, you can't just go to... You can't just... nice sound effects. So,
and then I say... You're fired upon.
Oh, come on. Really?
Omar, was this the best cannon you could get for me, really?
It was not a very good cannon.
All right, first thing I do as president, get a new sound effects guy.
Okay, all right, good.
Apparently so. You got a guy named Omar working for you. I did not know that.
I do, yes.
All right, you understand.
Omarosa.
Oh.
Just put it in the file.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely put it in the file.
How did this happen? I just sent it to a couple of people. How is it everywhere now? I thought that was private. What?
How long do you think this is going to take before people actually learn?
It's always going to be this way. There's just a segment of people that will never learn.
Look, if you take a picture of yourself naked and you send it to somebody, you might as well just assume it's going to the world because the way things work now. And yet people still do it on a daily basis.
And not just...
don't get me wrong. I have no problem with that as long as you're fine with it going out to the world. But don't be all surprised.
Right. And it doesn't just exist in the archives of that guy or gal who you sent it to. Lisa, do you mind me talking about your phone and the email? That blew my mind.
Okay.
Lisa May, out of the blue, trying to get her email set up on her new smartphone, all of a sudden, all her email from 2006 just showed up.
Wow.
It just showed up on her phone.
If I go into my email on my home computer, it's not there. There's no email from 2006. It's all old, deleted, gone.
Right.
How is it now on my phone?
That's my point. Is like, not only does it exist in the with whoever you send it to, it's out there.
It's out there somewhere.
It never goes away.
It's on time.
Once it's out there, it's out there. No matter how many times you delete it.
Were there any of the nude photos of me?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And I sent them to Mike.
I thought you said you...
The reason we bring this up now is the latest example of somebody who thought something was private and now it's an international sensation is this former Duke University student, maybe you've heard about, named Karen Owen.
Aren't they supposed to be smart at Duke?
Yeah, you're right. They are supposed to be smart. Doesn't mean they have common sense, though. What she decided to do was, as a joke with her friends, she kept meticulous notes as to everybody she dated or just had sex with during the 3 years she was attending the university. And she wrote it up like a sex thesis to mail to her friends because that's, you know, girls talk about this stuff. She wrote in explicit detail about how she would watch pornos with her lovers, how she would the text messages that they sent back and forth, all the places she had sex on campus, including dorms, cars, even during the university library during finals. And then she ranked all 13 men who, by the way, included pictures and full names of all 13 men that she had sex with while she was going to jail. While she was in college, all 13 of them. She ranked them. She gave them a score based on their physical attractiveness, their size, their talent, creativity, aggressiveness, entertainment, athletic ability, and gave out bonus points for other factors such as accent. By the way, in her system, you got a point deducted if you were rude or Canadian. So I think that's interesting. So she writes this whole thing up as a sex thesis for fun, and she sends it to some girlfriends.
13 guys, by the way. She's not very active. I'll just say that. Let's start there.
Yeah, that's...
Come on now.
That's just okay. She's not trying really hard.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, we were guessing last week when this story broke. We were trying to figure out what she might look like. She's pretty attractive. Pretty attractive. Could have had more. Chose these 13. And she had a thing for lacrosse players. Most of them were lacrosse players from the Duke team, too.
Okay.
And other athletes, too. So she sends this to three friends who, you know, can't get over how hilarious it is and send it on to their friends and send it on to their friends. The next thing you know, it's the hottest thing at Duke and they're 14,000 students. Next thing you know, it leaves Duke and now it's all over the world and now there's hardly a website in the world that doesn't have a link to this.
Yeah, you can find the whole thing now. Mm-hmm. And with all the guys, with all their pictures, everything.
Yikes.
And of course, here's the part of the story you were expecting. She says, I regret it with all my heart. I would never intentionally hurt the people that are mentioned. She just couldn't believe that it happened and she's just so sorry and blah, 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 blah.
I don't buy she wouldn't hurt those people because she was keeping meticulous notes the whole time.
She didn't want them to know she was hurting them. She wanted to hurt them, but behind their backs with just her friends.
That's right, Lisa. Absolutely. Yes. She wanted to hurt behind their backs. So this kind of got us on the topic of other people who have sent things out. And are we basically just talking about electronically? Is this all email and
email,
phone, text?
Email or text or photos on Facebook. Wherever you send something and you think... Hey, this is just going to go to that person, and then it went to that person and a whole lot more. That's what we're looking for.
It bit you in the ass. You sent something that was meant to be private, and then it went public, and people saw it that you didn't want to see it. That's the topic on the table today. Those are the calls we're looking for.
Now, again, I'd like to point out, we don't want to discourage that kind of behavior, but don't be surprised when it goes viral, when it just goes everywhere. Please, I mean, at this point, haven't we learned that if you send out a photo of you naked, good chance it's going to end up on a website somewhere.
I'm going to see it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we want to take calls from people that was not your intention and you didn't quite catch this concept yet. That you send it to one person and it ends up everywhere. And by now, really, you should have known better. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, having a conversation about the Duke University student who meant to send her sex thesis to a few friends. It ended up being all over the internet, all over the world. Now she's embarrassed because she didn't mean to hurt anybody, Kevin. How could she have ever seen this would happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the most basic of common sense to me.
Yeah. She may be private.
She may be smart, but you have to understand if it's inflammatory, if it's good, and this is juicy gossip of her details of her sleeping with guys,
right,
along with pictures and names, it's going to get interest and it's going to get sent around. You should know that.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You thought it was private. It ended up being public. Why don't we start with Anthony? Anthony's on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you can give us a call, too, if you've had a story that has happened to you.
Hey, Anthony.
How you guys doing?
What'd you do?
I took a picture of my junk and sent it to my girlfriend.
All right.
Yeah.
Girlfriends love that.
Yeah. And yeah, then, she sent it to her mom.
Whoa.
Sent it to her friends.
Wait. Hold on a sec. Wait, your girlfriend intentionally sent it to her mother?
Her intentionally sent it to her mom.
Why?
Okay, she's twisted.
Who does that?
She does apparently, but
now. But why?
Slow down, we're having trouble with she sent it to her mom. Okay, so she sent it to her mom, and then her mom sent the picture of your junk to all of her friends?
Yeah, and then I'm now like considered a pervert among her mom's friends and everything.
Okay, how long had you and your girlfriend been going out at that time?
We were going out for about 2 years.
Okay, and did you think that the picture of your penis would be well received by her?
No, I didn't know she was going to send it out to anyone. It was supposed to be like
I'm just trying to figure out what the misunderstanding was. Like, why? I mean, how did she react so differently than what you expected?
Well, I'm guessing you sent it to be funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did she send it to her mom? You had to have asked her that.
She just thought it would be
funny.
Just a joke, I guess. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Her mom.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and who could have predicted that it would have been on purpose? I mean, you could see it happening accidentally. Your girlfriend is texting or sending email or something and accidentally gets sent to the people that she sent it to her mom on
That's
purpose.
Awesome.
And then her mom sent it on purpose, right?
And you're the freak.
Wow, and you're the pervert. Right.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. By the way, 1-800-520-1067 is the number if you had something go public that you meant to be private. And this might be a great time as we go to Chris on line one to remind folks that it's been a long time since Lisa May has gotten Kevin Bean Lister penis photos.
She does love it more than most.
I saved them all, and I don't
need
any more.
What you were saying
off
the air.
I can barely
sounded to me like
look at the ones I have.
A lot more.
They're doing so much more with penises now than they did last time you got some. Seriously, send them to Lisa May. She'll thank you for it later. Hi, Chris. Thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Hi. Well, I was sending dirty pictures to my girlfriend, and somehow my phone messed up. And it sent it to everybody on my contact list.
Nice.
So I sent it to about 140 people.
The dirty pictures
and my parents.
Including your parents. Good. The dirty pictures included both of you or just you?
Just me.
Just you. All right.
Dude. So after you hit send, how long? Okay. Can't really use the F word on the air. Right.
Can't say that. Right. But that would be their response.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, how many people in your contact list do you know well enough that you would send them a picture of your unit?
Only like
I would think
people.
Very few, right? I would think like 12, 15, 20, but no more than that.
Yeah, it got sent to like the priest at my church.
All right.
Everybody.
Wow.
It was the priest the first to get back to you?
Yeah.
Hey, come on into confession.
I like that. I've been trying to get that for a long time.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
All right, bye.
Just as a P.S., Mike, the expression is blundering idiot, not blistering idiot. The idiot was not blistering.
Maybe he's got herpes. You don't know.
Well, maybe you know. Maybe that's what he meant.
You there. Get my shoes.
Talking about last night's Mad Men, which Kevin can't stop reading about. Oh, does Kevin love the Mad Men? That first 20 minutes of that first episode, he saw that one
and
time.
And when he got back together with Midge again after all these years?
You don't have to tell
she's
me.
A heroin addict. Come on.
That was shocking.
Oh, so good.
Pulled out that all machete.
Right, Ralph Garman returned, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up after the top of the hour, he's going to tell us where he's been for the last 2 weeks and let us in on a little inside movie-making magic. I'm very much looking forward to hearing about that. First, though, time for the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Involves my time being a priest. They put me to a new parish. That's what happened. That's where I've been.
Good times.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some very cool tickets to give away to a very special advanced screening of a movie a lot of people are looking forward to, Paranormal Activity 2.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't have a winner. I haven't even said anything yet. of course, it's Halloween time coming up soon.
Yes.
Which means all the scary movies are coming out, and Paranormal Activity certainly was a smash hit. Now the sequel comes to theaters everywhere Friday, October the 22nd. However, you will get a chance to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. One of the most anticipated horror movie events of the year, Paranormal Activity 2. I'm telling you, there's something going on in that house. I just hope they have enough security cameras to capture it. That's all I know. Because things, doors are slamming and babies are standing up on their own and stuff. Yeah. It's nuts.
That does happen.
That house is nuts.
Call
right now. Call right now if you'd like to be one of the lucky winners. First five callers get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Paranormal Activity 2. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? It's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Social Network was number one, $15.5 million. Kept it in the number one spot. Life as We Know It, in its debut, made $14.6 million. Was good enough to be number two. Secretariat was third. Legends of the Guardians, My Owl movie, came in at number four. My Soul 2 Take was fifth. Speaking of scary movies, the new movie from Wes Craven, creator of such horror classics as Nightmare on Elm Street. The Town was sixth. Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps was seventh. Easy A was eighth. Case 39 was ninth. And you again rounded out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Sad news. Apparently, Ben Harper and Laura Dern are getting divorced.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah. They were a lovely couple.
That was a real surprise.
They seemed very cool and very hip together, but apparently not so much.
I didn't know they were a couple.
Yeah, they've been married.
Right.
I think 5 years.
Kids and everything.
5 years they've been married now. So they're splitting up, but I don't want to bum you out, so I'll bring you some good news. We've got a new sexiest woman alive, according to Esquire magazine. You know, some people call it a magazine.
No one does that.
A lot of people do.
None.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, they do. Up in Canada.
Nope.
Yeah. Minka Kelly. Minka Kelly has been announced as Esquire magazine as their sexiest woman alive for 2010.
Good choice.
I'm telling you, judging from some of the photos that Esquire magazine has released.
Oh my God!
You'd be hard to argue with their choice this year.
And I don't recall her ever doing the Laddie Mags before.
No.
Has she, Ralph? Is this the first time you've seen photos like this?
Wait, just a minute.
Time out.
What?
Laddie
Mags?
We're going to make some room for Laddie Mags.
What does that mean?
That's that expression. I think it's a British expression of these kinds, like the Maxim type magazines. They're called Laddie Mags.
Same people call it magazines?
Look at her,
what
though.
What the hell?
Look at her.
We're trying to, but you're distracting us from Laddie.
My penis is running away from Laddie Mags.
And by the way, I'm glad she's on Parenthood. It's a good show, but she's so dour on that show. They do not accentuate the positives with
Esquire
the way they dress
does.
Her on that program.
Ralph is showing Esquire me the photo. Esquire right seems to be accentuating the positives.
Derek Jeter is win.
He is a big basket of win.
Dating somebody that's in a Laddie Mag.
He's real.
You know?
You get a girl from a Laddie Mag, you know you really made it in the business.
You understand? I didn't make it up.
Right, but you said it.
No one here says that.
No one put a gun to your head and said, oh, use this horrible phrase.
You made that choice.
Where?
I think it's mostly Britain.
Well, then don't say it here.
But it's appropriate for the type of magazine that we're discussing. The Maxim type magazine. Those are Laddie Mags. They're mags for lads.
Oh, God.
You're making it worse. How do you make it worse?
Just when you think he can't.
I enjoy a good magazine.
Welcome back. Laddie Mags.
Laddie.
For all our British affiliates, we feel like we're in the know over there in the UK.
No, we're not in the know anymore. That happened while you were gone.
Minka says in the interview, I'm glad I'm done with my 20s. She said, the 20s were a pain in the ass, figuring it all out. What am I doing? Where do I go? Now I'm confident. I'm confident in my skin.
Yeah, I like to be confident in your skin.
I'm cool with my flaws and all that stuff. Yeah,
all your horrible flaws. Oh, man, she has a lot of flaws.
You poor disfigured creature.
How can she live looking like that?
They don't put people with flaws in the Laddie Mags. Come on. It just feels nice to be at peace with myself. I think my 30th birthday gave me permission to have all that. Well, congratulations, Minka Kelly. Well-deserved honor as sexiest woman alive, according to Esquire magazine. They do good work over there at that Esquire magazine.
They do.
Of all the laddie mags, I think that's my favorite. Unfreaking believable.
See, you missed me, right, Ralph?
Maybe Smith can write me some more scenes.
Oh, my
God. Get back on the set.
Can he write me just out? I'll be a stand-in for you.
We got room for you, sure. Yeah. Come on. Remember Ponch and John from Chips?
Yes.
Remember Chips? Sure. The two California Highway Patrolmen would ride those motorcycles. Eric Estrada was Ponch.
In the 70s, 80s?
John, Larry Wilcox was John. Apparently, he is not as law-abiding as his signature character on television was. TMZ.com is reporting that he's been charged with fraud. Securities and Exchange Commission.
Whoa. Who are we talking about now?
John from Chips. Mm. Larry Wilcox. They say he's manipulated the volume and price of penny stocks to generate illegal stock sales.
Asshole.
It's not that bad. I'm just saying.
How much can you change the price of a penny stock?
Penny and a half.
Really?
Penny and three quarters. It all adds up, mister. Save your pennies. Didn't you hear that phrase?
Wow.
Read that in a laddie mag.
I'll bet you did. Yes.
Ah, Lara Harry Potter.
What?
Lara Harry Potter?
Lara Harry Potter. The next in the series of Harry Potter films, according to Warner Brothers, was supposed to be in 3D, and they've said, nah.
What? They already advertised it in 3D.
No, they're not going to put it out in 3D.
What?
They said Friday. They've given up the idea of releasing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 in 3D because they realized they just couldn't finish the 3D conversion in time for its November 19th release.
Wow, they're making a decision based on art instead of commerce?
Well, I think it's a scheduling thing more than anything. They've got a hard and fast release date, and they don't think they can get the process done in time for the release.
Clearly, they didn't shoot it in 3D.
They did not. It would be a conversion.
I'm okay with this.
I've seen three times in the theater the trailer of that in 3D.
Not happening. Forget you ever saw that.
All right.
However, part two,
yeah,
which is due out in July 2011, that will be in 3D, so you'll be able to see the second half of the movie.
How can we trust
3D
them now?
Because they've got plenty of time to get to work on it and get things done. An auction of Michael Jackson memorabilia over the weekend in Macau.
Hey.
It brought in over $1 million in bids.
Wow.
100 items from Michael Jackson's personal memorabilia collection were up for auction, including a basketball signed by both Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan.
Wow.
What's that from?
Space Jam.
Space Jam, assuming, yeah. It sold for $245,000, that basketball. That is an expensive basketball.
That's an expensive basketball.
Another big ticket item was a black crystal studded glove that Michael wore during his promotional tour on the 1995 Greatest Hits Collection History. That went for $180,000.
What? For a glove?
For a glove.
Are you kidding?
Yes. So, Michael is still as hot as he ever was. Except,
how about the basketball games?
Considerably more dead now.
That's true.
Yes.
He's less alive.
And George Michael's a free man.
What?
Freedom! Freedom!
We did the story last
freedom!
Week.
Freedom!
We did the story last week that he was having fun in jail. He wasn't having a problem at all.
Apparently, he maybe having fun, but not enough fun to stick around.
No.
They opened the gate, and he said, yes, I'd
like
to leave now. You
know what? I'll take advantage of this opportunity.
He was released today from a jail in England after serving 27 days of an 8-week sentence for crashing his car into a photo store while under the influence of marijuana. You don't run into a lot of stoners who crash their cars.
No.
Usually that is not...
You gotta try.
The kind of drug that you get loaded on and then start mowing people down.
You drive anywhere when you're...
He was only going 3 miles an hour.
Maybe he was laced with something. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's weird behavior for somebody that's just on the weed.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he was taking some prescription drugs as well.
Ah.
So the combination of the two.
Dean, have you read anything about this in the Laddie magazines?
I must love that. That's a UK story. All the Laddie magazines must be going crazy.
I haven't, but I was wondering if Mike had any theorizing he wanted to do on whether Mr. Michael would have enjoyed his time in jail.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I don't know why you would assume a guy would enjoy time in jail. That's terrible.
That's a good point.
Oh, really?
What is unique or specific about George Michael that would make you think
that? I thought there might be something you might have thought of that might have made it more fun.
What you know about George Michael, you don't assume that he would have a good time in jail?
He's a singer, an artist, and I would assume he's, like any other adult, he's happy to be free.
Yeah, well, okay.
Lesson learned. And congratulations to American Idol runner-up Crystal Bowersox.
Is that her real name?
Her name is really Crystal Bowersox, yes.
Yeah.
She got married to her longtime boyfriend, Brian Walker. Here's the thing. She busted up with him when she won the when she was in American Idol, by the way.
So I'm moving on to someone better?
Yeah, but apparently they got back together. Mm. So congratulations. They have been friends for years, engaged just for a few weeks, but they tied the knot in Chicago on Sunday. Apparently Crystal wore a wedding dress made from hemp.
Oh.
No surprise there.
Really?
Not at all. Yeah. She was wearing a hemp dress. And if the ceremony didn't stink of patchouli, I'll be dipped and rolled in peanuts.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
I wonder if her wedding day was the one day she decided to finally wash her hair and brush her teeth.
Nope.
No.
I'm guessing that didn't
cross
her mind.
Wore a hemp dress, Bean. That was the answer.
You know, it's so funny. I think the wedding dress really is the most lavish of all expenses. Because ordinarily, you just wear it the one day and then you put it away forever.
Right.
But if you're wearing a hemp dress, you can get several uses out of that.
Good
you
point.
Smoke it after the ceremony, right?
Sometime.
Just roll it up. Just have a giant dress-shaped joint. Just smoke it.
Drive your car into a Kodak.
That's right. Then read the Laddie magazine the next day and see what they have to say about you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael J. Nelson, host, actor, writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, one of my favorite TV programs. He's 46 years old today. Actress Joan Cusack is 48. Actor Sean Patrick Flannery is 45 years old. Luke Perry turns 44. Jane Krakowski, who can be seen Thursday in the brand new all-live edition of 30 Rock with Tina Fey. She's 42 years old. Stephen Moyer is 41. Emily Deschanel, newlywed and actress star of Bones. She is 34 years old. And Michelle Trachtenberg, who played Buffy's little sister on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Anderson Cooper sat down with Eminem on last night's 60 Minutes. We got highlights for you coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. I have to say, welcome back, Ralph, first of all. It's great to have the whole group of us together, which doesn't happen very often. About
right.
3 weeks a year, we're all here at the yep. same time anymore.
Next week, someone else is gone.
Right. But we certainly missed you the last two Fridays when Dave had to sit in on Melfon. And I got to tell you, we may have a quarterback controversy of our own because Dave's doing a pretty damn good job on the drums playing for Melfon.
Let him have it.
Oh!
Really? What? No, I can't beat a band that doesn't really exist that plays four times 1 month out of the year.
I'm looking for you slipping back in behind the drums on Friday, though. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm happy to, but don't like say Dave's doing a great job and there's a
I'm
controversy.
I'm just saying the Melfon fans have embraced him. That's all
Who
because
we're
going to
tour with is the question.
But the reason Ralph has been out for the past couple of weeks and the reason we've been doing our sad job of filling in on the showbiz beat is because he was off doing his first love, which is acting in a real-life movie. Tell us about that.
I have been lucky enough to be cast in Kevin Smith's new film. As you know, Kevin's a friend of the show, and Kevin and I are doing a podcast, a weekly podcast together now called Hollywood Babble On out of his Smod Castle on Santa Monica here in Los Angeles. So we've become buddies over the past couple of years, and when this came about, when he got the financing for this film, he said, look, I think I got a role for you in it if you're interested. And I said, absolutely. I'd love to work with Kevin first and foremost because I'm a big fan of his. Besides being a friend, I also enjoy his movies. But also, I haven't acted in a while, and I thought it'd be a fun chance to do something interesting.
Was it difficult to learn all of the lines?
Well, here's the thing. The role that I play, the particular role that I embody in the feature film.
Right. The lines, were they tough to learn?
Is a mute. He is a silent character.
You're silent Ralph?
I have no lines in the film, which was actually, believe it or not, another reason I wanted to do it. Because I thought it would pose an enormous challenge.
I could do that
as
if I don't
an
have
actor
lines.
To try to convey stuff and communicate without having lines is harder, in my opinion, than even with lines. I mean, I talk all the time. I know how to do that.
Right.
I've done a lot of voice acting and a lot of animation and stuff like that. And, of course, I talk all the time here on the radio show and on the podcast. But to act without having the benefit of lines, I thought would have been an interesting exercise. And it has been, very much so.
Was the role written for a guy with dialogue, and then once you were cast, Kevin Smith said, no, no, no.
Oh, Bean, did you read that in a Laddie mag? No, the role was always mute. And
what
he said
did you
to
do?
Me
what
initially,
was your...
he said, I got an idea for you for a role, but I got to tell you, the guy's got no lines. He warned me up front, and I said, I don't care. That sounds kind of cool. I'll
he seems
it.
To love a character in almost all of his movies that don't have
You have to agree. The other role lines. That he wrote that had no lines did pretty well for himself.
Yeah.
Silent Bob. And there have been famous roles that I've always found interesting in other movies that were silent, like Robert Duvall played a character that was silent in a movie called To Kill a Mockingbird. And if you remember the second Die Hard movie, with Alan, not Alan Rickman, with Jeremy Irons. He had that female German assassin with him. She never said anything during the whole film. She just took people out. And I said, those kind of roles are interesting to me.
Then there's Penn and Teller.
That's right.
You got that.
He's interesting.
Right.
And so I said, yeah, I want to try this. And I get to, you know, kill a lot of people and do a lot of horrible things.
All right.
So,
cool.
That was an attraction.
You got weapons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And we should mention, because this is not your typical Kevin Smith movie. This is a completely different sort of film for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Horror movie.
I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about because I know Kevin wants to keep as much sort of suspense about the story and what's going on in the film to people to see it, more so than talk about it, that whole spoiler kind of thing.
Do you kill more than 10 people?
No, I do not kill more than 10 people.
You're nothing. You're nothing.
But I do play sort of a homicidal, religious zealot in the film, and it has some political and religious overtones as well as being a horror movie and a thriller. But the most exciting part for me, and I know I can talk about this because we mentioned it Saturday when we were doing the podcast, Kevin talked about it, is that for the first time ever, I got to be shot in a movie.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, that's the best.
And when you get shot in a film, sometimes what they do is they put squibs on you. Now, squibs are little explosive charges that are built into a metal plate.
I'm already in.
And they've got a cover on the top, a sort of a cardboard cover. And then there is a blood pack put on top of that. And what they do is they attach those squibs, these little packets, to your body. And then they run wires out of them down your back and down your pant leg to a larger wire. And it's connected up to a board that has switches on it. And so when the proper time comes, they throw these switches and these things explode on your chest, blowing out the clothing that you're wearing. They blow a hole in the clothing,
right.
But they also burst through the blood pack, so blood comes spurting out of those holes.
Did they have
Does
any
it hurt?
Did they have any problems with the gun shooting and then the beat? And then the squib goes, come on, we got to time this better.
Well, the beauty of making movies is you can shoot stuff out of sequence, and it's put together in the editing.
Ah.
So there was a scene where another actor has a machine gun, and he swipes the machine gun across the room, and so they've put explosive charges in the wall, all the way along the wall leading up to me, and then the squibs across my chest, and then more explosives to the other side of me.
Love it.
And then they fire them in sequence, so it looks like bullets are striking all along the wall across my body
into
the wall on the
scene?
Other side. I did have a death scene.
Nice.
But
well,
that
is a spoiler.
Stagger around for like 15 minutes. Oh, I'm going!
Actually, Kevin mentioned Saturday. He said, I got what I needed from you in the first 4 seconds of that scene. Luckily, because the remainder of it, he said, I should put that on your Oscar reel because it looks like you'd be shot by another couple other machine guns that once the bullets have stopped, you just kept dying.
Love it. So your guy will not be back for Red State even redder. He's out.
He shan't be back for the sequel. Once again, I am removed from the possibility of either Sharktopus 2 or Red State 2. I won't be in either of those.
So if you can get every director that you do a podcast with to throw you a role, your career will be on fire again.
How many podcasts do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. I'm just saying. This is awesome.
Just doing the one.
But when's the movie coming out?
Friday?
Friday, yeah.
That's good. I like your way to local turnarounds.
No, this is a very low-budget film. Kevin had to raise the money independently to make this movie. Usually the Weinstein brothers have financed his other films, his comedies. So this is independently financed, so there isn't really a production, a distribution deal in place. What he's going to have to do is take it to the Cannes Film Festival or the Sundance Film Festival in January and give people a look-see. And then they will buy it and sign it up, and then it'll be out sometime next year.
It seems to me like that's for people who don't know how to make movies yet.
Don't have an audience.
Kevin Smith wouldn't need to do that.
He obviously probably will get more attention, and people will be looking forward to seeing the film with a mind already to purchase it.
Because they know of his other work.
Because they know of his work. So he might not have a tough as go of it as some people will. But I'll be real interested to see him put it all together. And here's the fascinating thing with Kevin. He's a man of enormous energy. We shoot the movie all day long, sometimes for 12, 14-hour days. Then what he does, he's shooting the whole film on this brand-new technology called RED cameras, which are high-definition video cameras. And instead of a film magazine they use when they shoot, you know, 35-millimeter film, it is a brick that is basically a hard drive.
Digital. Mm-hmm.
Digital. It holds about 12 minutes of high-quality, high-definition video information. And so he is taking those and he goes home and starts editing the film right away.
The same night?
The same night.
After 14 hours of shooting it?
Yeah, so he'll stay at home and edit for another 6 or 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
Grab a nap, go back to the set, and do the whole thing.
It could be ready by Friday.
It really, literally could. He's got about 45 minutes of the movie edited already.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a remarkable process to watch him go through it. And and from what I've seen, you get to see footage pretty much the next day. You get to see not just rushes, which is the kind of the raw footage they shoot, but you get to see scenes that have been edited together. So you get to watch the film fall together as you're making it. And it's been really fascinating.
Wow. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're never happier than when you're acting. So it sounds like that was a great, although a working vacation, I'm sure something you really enjoyed a lot.
Has been a good time. And it's a lot of great actors in this, not including me, obviously, because I don't have any lines. But Melissa Leo, who has been Oscar nominated, she's in the film. Michael Parks, who's in it. His son, James Parks, is a great actor. Stephen Root, you know him from News Radio. He was in that. Also does one of the voices on King of the Hill. He is great in it. John Goodman is also in the film. So it's really going to be interesting to see it all put together. But I'm telling you, I had a great time the past couple weeks. So.
Fantastic. All right. Welcome back. We've got Eminem on 60 Minutes coming up for you next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I go crazy every Sunday night, Kevin, on the 60 Minutes message board. You know those are my people, right? And they're furious last night that Eminem got the attention on 60 Minutes because he's white. A lot of them were saying, hey, where's the profile on Jay-Z? Hey, why aren't they talking about Kanye? Why Eminem? Because he's white. And I thought, well, you're stupid, first of all. Yeah. And second of all, the dude's got a fascinating story, white or black. But the fact that he made it in an almost exclusively African-American world, I think does make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I do, too. Those people are dumb. But Eminem was on 60 Minutes last night, and that's weird. That's a strange mixture.
They don't do very many celebrity profiles. They're really much more of a hard news show. This isn't the type of thing they do often. But when somebody comes along like Eminem that's so special, I guess they feel like they need to.
And they brought in Anderson Cooper. I wonder why.
Younger.
Good. He was talking to Eminem about rhyming words, and I thought this was fascinating because Eminem has a style that really is all his own. He changes words around and makes them sound like they shouldn't, and it's just he's asking him how he does it.
I've heard you say that you bend the word.
Yeah, it's just in the enunciation of it. Like, people say that the word orange doesn't rhyme with anything, and that kind of pisses me off because I can think of a lot of things that rhyme with orange.
What rhymes with orange?
If you're taking the word at face value and you just say orange, nothing is going to rhyme with it exactly. If you enunciate it and you make it like more than one syllable, mm-hmm. orange, you could say like, I put my orange 4-inch door hinge in storage and ate porridge with George. You just have to figure out the science to breaking down words and try to...
And do you think about this throughout the day?
Yeah, all day. Yeah, I actually drive myself insane with it.
I do that on accident.
Look at him. He just ripped that off.
Yeah.
Boom.
No, that was impressive. And by the way, that sounds like a hit to me. I think he needs to record that.
And then Anderson Cooper asked him something that I'd never heard before about Eminem, and I totally relate to this as well.
I heard that you used to read the dictionary.
I just felt like I want to be able to have all these words at my disposal in my vocabulary at all times whenever I need to pull them out.
So, that's me.
That is you, yeah.
That's really me. So then they started talking about all the hoopla over the homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, look, I love 60 Minutes, but isn't this about 5 years too late to be having this conversation?
Well,
I don't even think that's a factor anymore, particularly with Eminem.
It is, but it's also the first time that that some of these words got used on 60 Minutes, I imagine, which was pretty odd. So he says, did you think you were being targeted unfairly?
I felt like I was being attacked, like you were being singled out.
I was being singled out, and I felt like, is it because of the color of my skin? Is it because of that you're paying more attention? Is it because there's certain rappers that do and say the same things that I'm saying, and I don't hear no one saying anything about that.
Some of the lyrics, like in a song Kill You, you say, bitch, I'm gonna kill you. You say, my words like a dagger with a jagged edge that'll stab you in the head, whether you're a fag or a les, hate fags, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a yes or no answer, question. But yeah, then he goes on to say he doesn't use that language at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, wait, just to back up to the point, I think he was targeted because he was mainstream pop, because he was in every 12-year-old's bedroom. He wasn't some guy, he wasn't the Wu-Tang or something like that that doesn't get played on the radio, that not very many people buy their records. He was the biggest star in the world. That's why he got targeted.
Yeah,
for
I think
lyrics.
So too. But then he goes on to explain the scene that he grew up in.
The scene that I came up in, that word was thrown around so much. You know, faggot was like, it was thrown around constantly to each other, like, in battling. That was just
But, I mean, do you not like gay people?
No, I don't have any problem with nobody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just whatever.
All right. Good. Okay. First time maybe the F word's been said on 60 Minutes, perhaps, that F word.
Maybe, but again, to me, this is, I mean.
Dude, I hear you.
He answered this with Elton John 3 years ago when they did the song together and performed together and became good friends afterwards. I mean, I don't think Eminem is homophobic, and I think that's fairly widely known at this point.
So then he asked him about the OD, Eminem overdose.
In December of 2007, he overdosed, collapsing in the bathroom of his home.
You almost died.
Yeah.
How close do you think you were to dying?
They said 2 hours.
They said if he'd gotten to the hospital 2 hours later, death. That's how much, that's how bad, that's what bad shape he was in. All of his organs were starting to shut down and everything was just going south quick. They said that, remember the pre-hype being that he was going to teach Anderson Cooper how to rap?
Yes.
Sure didn't see that. But I did go online because they had some extras and they tried to get Eminem to read some, you know how they, at the beginning of 60 Minutes, they introduced themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to get Eminem to do that, and he did it with all of the quality of me, perhaps. You wouldn't expect that from him, right?
I'm Steve Croft.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Bob Simon.
And I'm Marshall Mathers. Those stories and more. Can I redo that? That was terrible.
That was awful.
My name? I was Marshall Mathers. Now I'm just a shell of who I used to be. Tonight and more. 60 Minutes. And I'm Marshall Mathers. All that and what? All that and more? Tonight on 60 Minutes, and I'm Marshall Mathers.
There you go.
What did you do?
I could be a rapper.
That's awesome.
Come on now. Come on now. That's me. Yeah, that's me bad. That's me bad. I love that.
I just don't understand why Luke from Quake Prediction did not come on. I felt like he really was having a good time talking to us every few days, Kevin.
Luke, I thought you guys were fun.
You thought we were entertaining.
Yeah.
He continues, by the way, if you go to his site today, he's saying October 20th, Southern California is going to get a 7.0 earthquake. So we have not dissuaded him from his bogus earthquake predictions. He just won't come on to defend them on our show anymore.
We talked to him three times and we said, hey, you're wrong. Stop doing that. And then he would say, ha, it's going to happen next Tuesday. And then we would call, and then we talked to him again and again and again. And he just, nothing to say.
You were insulting him from start to beginning.
I was. That's
yes,
true.
That's true.
That is true.
And he kept coming on.
But I could predict an earthquake every day and be right eventually.
That's true.
Odds are. Really, that's not much of a talent. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph Garman has returned. Thank God. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
God had nothing to do with it. It's the work of the devil.
That's true.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. As we always do on a Monday morning, The Social Network was number one with $15.5 million. Life as We Know It came in at number two, and its debut made $14.6 million. Secretariat was third, $12.6 million. Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahuli, made $7 million, good enough to make them number four this weekend. The Soul, My Soul to Take was fifth, then The Town, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, Easy A, Case 39, and You Again. That's your top ten. I, having been working on the movie for the past 2 weeks, you kind of go into a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, because you're working weird hours and you just go home and sleep and then get up and do it again and you're hanging out with the same group of people and you don't really know what's going on in the world. So I haven't been a chance to see any movies, really, in the past couple weeks.
Right.
Has anyone seen Easy A?
Yes.
I love Emma Stone so much.
Yeah, and I liked it.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
And I'm looking forward to seeing her in the new Spider-Man movie.
Very good.
Yeah. She's hosting SNL in 2 weeks, too, Ralph.
I don't like her that much. I enjoy her work, but not that much. Justin Bieber.
Yeah, he didn't stop while you were gone.
Is taking over as host of the show Punk'd. Ashton Kutcher, of course, created the show, went off the air in 2007 and went on hiatus, and then MTV's bringing it back with apparently Justin Bieber as host. This is not falling in with my Impede the Beeb program, by the way.
No, not at all.
This is more Beeb.
We don't seem to be impeding the Beeb whatsoever.
Although, this might show another side of him that will annoy people. You know what I mean? Like,
he might lose some fans because of this annoying
behavior. I thought Ashton Kutcher was annoying on that show.
It's true.
So, you know, maybe this will show, you know, his true personality a little bit.
Bieber has also announced his new line of nail polish. Oh, man.
That is odd.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine it's because all of his fans are little girls.
Bieber endorsed nail polish.
Yeah.
Many of the titles of the colors are named after his songs, I'm assuming. I'm not familiar with his body of work, but I get the sense from One Less Lonely Glitter.
Yeah.
Prized Possession Purple. Give Me the First Dance Silver. Me and Blue Blue. OMB. Red. And Step to the Beat of My Heart. That these colors are all related to his music in some way.
Because like most teenage girls, what they care about is stupid.
Yeah. By the way, Justin's first book, Justin Bieber, First Step to Forever, My Story, will hit shelves tomorrow. You may want to pick that up. You want to make sure you pick that up.
Thank God.
I apparently have been remiss in my impeding of the Bieber.
Well, there's no impeding going on, if that's what you're saying.
So I would like to officially, you know, try to revive the Impede the Bieber movement. However, have you seen the kid on the internet now who is declaring war on the Bieber haters?
No, but I love... What?
Oh, yes, there has been a war declared.
On Bieber
against
haters?
People like me who are trying to impede the Bieber.
Wow.
He is angry.
Yeah.
He is effeminate, and he is Canadian. And he has had an assful of people like me. I brought a little audio from his declaration of war that you can find on YouTube. And he's very serious about this.
Hello, Justin Bieber haters. This video is an open declaration of war to all you freaks, you metal-loving heads, okay? Justin Bieber fans and Justin Bieber himself has been receiving a lot of hate, and we've had people disliking Justin Bieber's videos. Here's the deal, Justin Bieber haters. You have 14 days to take down all the groups geared towards hating Justin. You've got 14 days to take down all the videos geared towards hating Justin. Mm-hmm. You've got 14 days to take down all the websites geared towards hating Justin.
Clock is ticking.
And if you don't take the websites down, we're going to find out who you are, the users of the IP, where you live, and we're going to get your photo, and we're going to blast it on the internet, okay? All on our site, it will be full of Justin Bieber haters. We'll have your phone number, your address, all this stuff. You'll probably be getting a lot of prank calls and stuff as well.
Oh, no.
And I'm sure that's the last thing you want.
That's the last thing I want.
Because Justin Bieber hating has to stop. And,
why?
You know, it's as I said, it's not a joke anymore.
No,
and people
is.
Are starting to get upset, frustrated and stuff. They're starting to fear for their lives because a bunch of idiots...
Yes.
From some stupid websites are going and posting stuff saying that they're going to kill us and that they're going to cut our necks.
What?
And, you know, we just don't appreciate that.
All right.
It's not a joke anymore, okay. And justice will be served.
That's right. Okay. Justice will be served.
Wow. Justice is whatever he says it is.
I'm still going to kill you and cut your neck, though, kid. I'm just telling you that.
He does sound like the guy to pull this off, though.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone say that, first of all.
I haven't either.
But second of all, let's send him our photos.
But all I know is we have 14 days.
All right. You got a lot to accomplish. 14 days,
Bieber hater countdown calendar has begun. So,
now,
poor kid. He's effeminate and he's Canadian.
So is Justin Bieber, by the way.
He must never stop being picked on.
True.
Bieber's a Canadian, too?
Yes, he is.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
Not even American.
Where is our Border Patrol agent when we need him?
Great point. How about looking northward a little bit, guy?
These people, throwing them out of the country.
Yep.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Michelle Trachtenberg. She is 25 years old today. Before I get to birthdays, really quickly, didn't want to let another showbiz beat going by without mentioning, once again, that Minka Kelly is Esquire's Sexiest Woman Alive for 2010. It has been announced today. I did want to mention that because the pictures are ridiculous.
Stop making those noises.
You can go to Esquire.com, the magazine's website. And look at some of her photos. And they have got a video of her shooting the photos as well.
All right. What kind of mag is that if people aren't familiar with Esquire?
People are familiar. Don't worry.
According to Bean, it's a laddie mag.
Yeah!
Only Bean could make a magazine just chock full of man stuff with pictures of hot chicks and booze and gambling tips and everything. Make it sound less masculine.
Yeah.
It's a laddie mag. I like the laddie mags. Michelle Trachtenberg, mentioned her, 25 years old today. Emily Deschanel is 34 years old today. Stephen Moyer of True Blood turns 41. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, which will be live this Thursday night, is 42. Luke Perry's 44. Sean.
What's up, Kevin and Dean? Right. This is the one from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, buddy, I just mentioned
and I'd like to tell you something.
Yeah.
The 90210 girls, those three girls need to shake their booties.
Okay.
They need to shake their booties.
Yes, that's true.
Because I like them. They're
awesome. Is Luke Perry we're talking about.
Yeah,
though.
It's not
booty looking. Nation to Bootylicious.
Right, it's the old show, though. It's not...
Later.
Okay, sorry to watch.
Sean Patrick Flannery is 45 years old today. Michael J. Nelson of Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks fame is 46. And Joan Cusack celebrates her 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Cesar Millan on the program. He, of course, is the dog whisperer.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read the article, but is he in the press blasting President Obama and the way he's handling his dog, Bo?
I don't know. Did
you guys hear something about
I
that?
Didn't.
He came out against the president. We've got to ask him about that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. We have bigger problems than how the president trains his dog, really. Adam Sessler will be in studio from G4 talking about video games.
Different Adam.
Yeah, it's not the same guy. And we also have a new internet roundup, and we're going to tell you why they're kicking lesbians out of sporting events.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. And that's not right. It's not the America that I want to live in. And we have more tickets for you to see the advanced screening of Jackass 3D tomorrow morning.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop karaoke, including the latest from the Dirty Heads called Stand Tall. Also some Muse on the way, Phoenix Incubus, Social D, Kings of Leon, and more right after this on K-Rock.